Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
This is kind of looks a little strange to me, but don't turn around till I can see if we've fallen from a different tree. And if it's all in our minds, sayings of the day are wise. We both got a reason to stand across the line. Do what you want to say.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News. I'm Harley Carnes. As stocks fell again today, the Dow losing about 450 points, investors fled to safer havens, bonds and commodities like gold, silver, and oil. CBS's Alexis Christophorus.
This bailout of AIG has really brought a bloodbath instead of the rally that we were all expecting. And that's because Wall Street is looking ahead now to the next disaster.
NASDAQ was off 109 points. Big investment banks reportedly are talking marriage with other banks for survival, Wachovia and Morgan Stanley, for example. New York Times says Washington Mutual is entertaining suitors. KIRO's Jason Brooks.
Washington Mutual's retail banking division, you see the banks all over the country, is doing very well, and it's worth $143 billion. But its mortgage business, those assets are valued around $180 billion. Unfortunately, don't know how much of that is worth anything because of the losses that are piling up.
A new CBS News New York Times poll, CBS News Deputy Survey Director Sarah Dutton on the presidential race.
48% of registered voters now say they would vote for Barack Obama. 43% would choose John McCain. That gives Obama a 5 percentage point lead over McCain. And that's about where we were before both the Democratic and Republican conventions.
Most people think the economy is getting worse, 61%. 44% of the people say their income is just enough to cover the bills these days. More than a third say they do have enough to buy some extras. The Commerce Secretary says there's help for commercial fishermen in Texas and Louisiana because of damage from Hurricanes Gustav and Ike. Loans from the SBA will be available to them. In Houston, most people still have no power. Galveston's essentially unlivable. Larry Fortmuller is a Red Cross volunteer from California feeding people in Baytown, Texas.
Those impacted, many of them still do not have electricity, they don't have water power, and they don't have sewage. Very, very difficult for them to prepare meals, even if they can, in fact, stay in their homes.
All the way up the soggy line, drawn by Ike's drenching rains, there are still power outages and people at wit's end. In the Cincinnati area, WKRC-TV reporter Rich Jaffe.
You could find no C-size batteries, no D-cell batteries, which are the ones you would use for big flashlights. There were no flashlights to be had.
This is a blues story.
I was born in Louisiana.
As Hurricane Katrina bore down on New Orleans, Grammy Award blues artist Clarence Gatemouth Brown was evacuated here to Orange, Texas, his hometown. He died shortly later of lung cancer and was buried here at the historic African-American Hollywood Community Cemetery. His coffin was one of several washed away here by Hurricane Ike's storm surge. Jim Crisula, CBS News, Orange, Texas.
The man who wrote War for Edwin Starr and co-wrote this song has died. Norman Whitfield also wrote Papa Was a Rolling Stone with Barrett Stone. Long list of hits. He was 67. This is CBS News.
A lot of people walk into Sherwin-Williams and ask me about products that have less impact on the environment. It's nice to know I can help.
At your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store, our exceptional products, the Green Shore Seal, are not only beautiful, they're low odor and durable too. And now, save $7 a gallon on Harmony and Duration Home. So if you're thinking green, just ask. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it. Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
While many struggle with hard times, some folks have a hard time keeping up with their billions.
There are some old faces. Bill Gates tops the Forbes 400 this year. He's worth $57 billion. And some new additions, like the co-founder of Facebook, just 24 and worth $1.5 billion. But the economy is having an impact on even the country's billionaires. Forbes senior editor Matthew Miller says hotel and casino moguls lost big.
Anybody who takes somebody's discretionary income has suffered this year.
The most lucrative industry?
Anybody dealing with discount retail.
So the Walton family is back in the top 10 because of Walmart's profits. Cammie McCormick, CBS News, New York.
Andrew Dahl's 14. He says after he set the new record, he was a little bit out of breath, but he felt pretty good. He blew up 308 balloons in 1 hour on the Regis and Kelly show in New York by blowing through his nose. His father says Andrew discovered this rather unusual talent while riding in the family car at age 7. Harley Carnes, CBS News.
Prices are up. The cost of running your business is up. Everything's up, except your marketing budget. So what's a small business to do? Email marketing to your current customers with ConstantContact.com. With Constant Contact, you get professional-looking email newsletters that keep your customers coming back. Plus, there's a free 60-day trial with plans as low as $15 a month. So even if the economy's down, your sales don't have to be. Put your marketing on the upswing with ConstantContact.com.
1 gallon of fuel in a lawnmower will mow about half your backyard. A gallon of fuel in an ice cream truck will disappoint a lot of kids. But a gallon of fuel in a CSX train can move 1 ton of freight 423 miles. Just think what that can do for the environment. To learn more, go to CSX.com. CSX, how tomorrow moves.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Can't touch this. Can't touch this.
Memo from McCain team to the media.
Touch this.
Oh, don't touch it.
Can't touch this.
Welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show, untouchable in so many cases. Great to have you listening. We're along for the next 3 hours with conversation and your opportunity to join it. We always open up the phone lines for you and pay for the call. It's toll-free at 888-5-PETER-B. That's 888-573-8372. Don't hurt him, Hammer.
Can't touch this.
Later this hour, an update on the budget battle in Sacramento, where the Terminator has threatened a veto, but the paperwork hasn't quite arrived for him to take that dramatic act. And, of course, his veto is over the budget and every other bill on his desk, or so he threatens. John Laird, the Assembly's budget chair, will join us later this hour. Next hour, Professor Marjorie Cohn, the constitutional law professor from Southern California, will join us. We're going to talk about a number of issues. We're going to revisit the violence on the streets, mostly by police against reporters, including Amy Goodman and other independent reporters. That's in St. Paul during the Republican convention way back 2 weeks ago. And also Marjorie's written about an issue I care about, the mission creep in Afghanistan, and a column, too, about the Palin theocracy. We'll cover as much of that as we can with Marjorie coming up next hour. David Cobb returns. He was the Green Party's presidential candidate in 2004. He's got an update on the challenge to the ballot measure that passed in Humboldt County banning corporations from participating in initiatives. We'll get an update on that. And he's got an invitation for you in Humboldt, too, to participate in an upcoming political retreat. And in the Free Speech Zone today, Cliff Schechter is going to co-host with me. He's the author of The Real McCain. And we're going to work over some of the latest comments from the candidate on the economy, the Wall Street meltdown. And also, apparently, he flipped his lid, lost his temper when Carly Fiorina, the former CEO of Hewlett-Packard, was quoted as saying that, well, you know, Sarah Palin could never be a CEO, and in fact, John McCain couldn't either. the campaign canceled her appearance on CNN that was scheduled for this morning. I guess she's in the penalty box, and we'll find out just how long. That's all ahead here on the PBC show, and if you'd like, you can email me, Peter, at peterbcollins.com. Eric Bullard joins us now from Media Matters for America. They're the truth squad there, checking the facts and trying to straighten out the lies that are flying around all over the place. Eric, welcome to the show today. Hi, Eric. Can you hear me?
Hey, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing okay. And you?
Good.
Good, good. I want to talk about your column, which I think makes some very important points. But first, this is a rare thing because on the homepage of Media Matters is a clip from L. Rushbo, and he has discovered sexism, Eric, one of the greatest evils, particularly when he thinks it's applied to a female Republican governor. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's quite unusual. He, it reminds me of the Saturday Night Live skit when over the weekend when Hillary Clinton says she's suddenly surprised that people care about sexism.
Yeah,
and it's always a surprise when the Republican Party expresses concerns about sexism. I mean, Rush Limbaugh has made a career out of being sexist towards Democrats. Democratic women politicians being degrading and disrespectful and all those things.
I'd say he's only number two to Michael Savage when it comes to true, deep-seated misogyny. I mean, this goes beyond just casual sexism and locker room jokes. These guys are deeply afraid of women.
Yep. Just like they're hugely afraid of minorities and people from other countries and things like that. Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's not just It's misogyny is what it is. So it's sort of beyond sexism.
Mm-hmm.
There is sort of a deep-seated, seems to be sort of ill will towards women in power. And if we're talking politics, so, you know, political women. And, I mean, you know, his vicious attacks on, you know, Hillary Clinton over the years have just been sort of off the charts.
Yeah.
So, you know, online we would call Rush a concerned troll. He suddenly, you know, very concerned about an issue that he has cared nothing about and seems to be doing it just to sort of stir up, for him, a phony issue. I mean, sexism is certainly not a phony issue, and as we've seen this year in terms of the campaign and media.
Well, and it's
but
also
Rush Limbaugh to suddenly express a deep-seated concern for how the press treats women in power is
mm-hmm.
sort of comical.
Well, and it's interesting because back in the dark ages, when I followed Rush Limbaugh's show every afternoon in San Francisco, I was there during the Clarence Thomas confirmation hearings.
Oh, God.
And just to consider for a moment how Rush handled the claims of Anita Hill and, you know, pushed back on behalf of Clarence Thomas, the high-tech lynching, all of that outrage that he was able to summon over what was pretty well circumstantially proven that Clarence Thomas was a guy who had a little trouble controlling some of his impulses.
Yeah, I mean, the Clarence Thomas stuff, I mean, Rush, like so many others, just came completely unhinged, and that was, I mean, the way he dealt with Anita Hill was really, I mean, that was just sort of trying frantically to completely dehumanize her
mm-hmm.
in a way to sort of tear her down politically. I mean, Rush Limbaugh has a long history of sort of demented attacks on women in power. You know, suddenly expressed this concern. This sort of, you know, just for him to express this concern now is, it doesn't carry much weight. And Republicans in general, in fact, you know, I didn't hear many of them expressing concern about how Hillary Clinton was being treated by the press during the primary. And, it, you know, if they were truly concerned about, you know, sexism in the media, they would have defended any woman. In fact, frankly, I think a lot of the press simply adopted the right-wing attacks on Hillary Clinton. They learned those attacks from Rush Limbaugh and his crowd.
Well, and he is the author of, forgive the expression, the broadside term, feminazi. And it's been used to dismiss and ridicule all kinds of women, either individually or in groups.
Yeah.
And so I want people to listen now and hear this great Sincere outrage coming from Rush Limbaugh as he defends Sarah Palin for stonewalling on the Troopergate investigation.
Troopergate's all about. I'm going to tell you exactly what it's all about. It's about the good old boys of Alaska being upset that a woman had upset the apple cart, got rid of Murkowski, got rid of the other Republican opponent in the primary. This is all about the good old boys of Alaska saying, we're not going to sit here and be run by a damn woman. We're going to take care of it. We're going to take this woman. That's all this is. And, of course, this guy's working with it. Doesn't matter. When the boys don't like the girl, Democrat and Republican boys will line up.
Oh, yeah.
And then they'll fight each other later after they get rid of the girl. And that's exactly what is happening here. This is pure sexism in Alaska on the part of these old boys trying to get rid of Sarah Palin. And she didn't put up with it. And she didn't bend over and let them have their way. She got rid of this guy. It's amazing he hung on as long as he did. In fact...
Wait. Rush. Don't you realize how sexist it is to say that she didn't bend over and let them have their way? Come on, dude.
Released the emails and some documents about this yesterday. A clear case of insubordination.
So, I mean, it is remarkable in terms of, first of all, the spin that he's trying to make the Troopergate case out to be Frank Murkowski and a couple of other guys who are angry with her, when there's a clear interference, a clear blurring of her official duties with this personal agenda that she and the first dude and many of her staff members took on as a central effort of the Palin administration. We've got to get rid of Trooper Wooten.
Well, Rush has jumbled many, many things. When he talks about the old boy network, he's essentially talking about the Republican Party in Alaska, because up until very recently, there was essentially and continues to be almost no Democratic Party existing in Alaska. Alaska has been one of the reddest states on the map. So, it's comical to hear him complain about the old boys network. Republicans, I mean, essentially control all the levers of power in the state of Alaska, and they only send Republicans to Washington. So, again, I guess Rush is now suddenly deeply concerned about sexism within the Republican Party, because that's the network. That's the old boy network in Alaska. So I guess if Rush wants to now start a crusade to drive Republicans from office in Alaska on the basis of sexism, I will support him 100%. But, you know, the whole Troopergate, he's very, you know, look, he's sort of grasping at straws. You know, Palin has now adopted sort of the Rove strategy where they're not going to cooperate with the investigation. They're strictly going to stonewall it and hope they can push through it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no indication that that's going to work from a press perspective. So Rush is sort of grasping at straws, and I guess has decided that Republicans in Alaska are to blame for Sarah Palin's current political difficulties. That's the only conclusion you can come to.
Yeah. Well, and it only draws more attention to Ted Stevens and his political and legal maneuverings right now. He's under indictment, and he called for a speedy trial, and now he's using all kinds of legal maneuvers to delay it. And, of course, Don Young, the Republican congressman from Alaska.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, if people know anything about Alaska politics in the last 18 months, is that it's run by corrupt Republicans. So, again, if that's what Rush wants to shine his spotlight on indicted Republicans from Alaska, which there are many, I guess that's the route he's chosen. It doesn't really seem to make any sense. I'm not quite sure he ties that back to liberals, but I guess it's all the media's fault.
And liberals, too. Come on, everything's liberals' fault. You know that in the Rush book. We're going to take a break and return with Eric Bollert from MediaMatters.org. We'll talk about his recent column about Palin and the press. And also at Media Matters today, check out a clip from San Francisco talk show host Lee Rogers. He's at a station that once had great call letters that I once worked at, KSFO. And he does a live and local morning show in San Francisco from Phoenix. His comment, female leadership of the Democratic Party consists of ugly skanks who hate that Sarah Palin is good looking. That really adds to the campaign, helps us focus on the issues, wouldn't you say? More straight ahead here on the Peter B. Collins Show.
this is Tom Hartman, and you're listening to Monterey Bay's Progressive Voice, KRXA 540. Think for yourself!
The Carmel Valley Market is ideal for all of your grovery shopping. Carmel Valley residents can now easily access the tradition of service and quality made famous by the Higuera family at the Grove Market in Pacific Grove. The Carmel Valley Market features the finest selection of fresh local fruits and veggies, as well as a full-service old-fashioned meat counter with USDA choice cuts. And don't forget the deli with delicious fresh sandwiches made to order. The Carmel Valley Market is located at 2 Chambers Lane, just behind Wells Fargo in Carmel Valley Village. Let the Carmel Valley Market's professional staff meet all of your grocery needs. Stop by and say hello to Ian and Gary Higuera, members of Charlie's family. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens, he cares.
Go ahead. Take a deep breath. Yeah, there's nothing like that new car insurance smell.
I love it.
Want to take it for a test drive?
Sure.
Wouldn't it be great if you could test drive car insurance? Well, maybe you can.
Notice all the impressive standard features. Good neighbor service for extra comfort and stability. And look how great it handles around those hairpin turns in your budget.
Check out the company 40 million other drivers trust, State Farm. No one gives more discounts to more drivers, and nobody takes care of you like a State Farm agent.
Who's that?
That's your built-in security system, your very own State Farm agent.
Hi, nice to meet you. Hey there, and who are those guys?
Oh, that's your award-winning claims department.
Wow.
So talk to a State Farm agent today and kick the tires on our car insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Justin Hamble, your Monterey Bay State Farm agent. Call me today at 831-688-3683. That's 688-3683.
Hi, I'm Ginger.
And I'm Jay. And we would like to personally invite you to experience why Monterey County food critics are raving about our family restaurant, A Pizza Paradise.
Could it be our fantastic one-of-a-kind specialty pizzas or huge calzones, such as the Jamaican Me Crazy, the White Sands Beach, the Veginout, or the Wild Mushroom Dream?
Or could it be because we also offer delicious salads, sandwiches, rice plates, and irresistible homemade desserts by Ginger?
Recently recognized as Local's Favorite, Best for Families, Most Creative, Big Screen and Big Eat, and will return to spend our own money.
So come relax in our tropical surf-themed restaurant and top off your meal with an ice-cold draft beer from Kona Brewing Company, fresh-brewed Hawaiian coffee, or Lappert's Hawaiian ice cream.
That's A Pizza Paradise, located in the Marina Village Center at 215 Reservation Road in Marina, or call 582-9149 or see us on the web at apizzaparadise.net.
That's A Pizza Paradise.
582-9149.
We're talking with Eric Bollert from MediaMatters.org. And a few years back, I found this CD in the used bin that perfectly illustrates for me that you can tell a lie. And if it is slickly presented and repeated over and over again, some people are bound to believe it. Now, this song repeatedly tells you that James Brown is dead. It's true. Reality has caught up with the song. But this was released in 1992. James Brown was alive and well, and maybe even doing a jail stretch at that time. Yeah. And Eric Bollard, this kind of reminds me of the way Fox News works, where they have slick production values and authoritative announcers, and when they tell you something, you're expected to believe it. And the lies propelled into the media by the McCain campaign in the past week have been breathtaking in their audacity. And in particular, the lipstick on a pig line that you take apart in your column at Media Matters this week was propelled into the media. They produced a commercial within an hour of when Barack Obama uttered that phrase in Virginia. And to my knowledge, they have yet to pay a dime to actually run that commercial, you know, as a commercial. It has been played for free by people like Chris Matthews and other cable shock jock hosts.
Yeah, the whole lipstick story was a bit of a fiasco, in that it was so clearly, you know, a manipulation of the McCain campaign manipulating the press. And the press sort of half acknowledging the whole time they're covering the story that it wasn't really a story, and trying to explain away why, even though it wasn't a story, we're still going to cover it. I mean, Chris Matthews opened his show one day last week, the day the lipstick, you know, the so-called lipstick story broke.
Mm-hmm.
And then said we're gonna, you know, basically said we're gonna spend the hour talking about it, and then he's, you know, had this sort of comment that, you know, there's a war going on, there's uncertain economic future, et cetera, and we're talking about lipstick, like he was insulted, which he should have been, but then he spent the next hour talking about it, and it's just one of these manufactured, you know, controversies that we see.
Well, first of all, Eric, I do commend you for continuing to watch Hardball. Since Rachel Maddow's show came on, I haven't found time. I TiVo it, but I just don't get around to Chris Matthews, and he seems utterly predictable, and so I, in some ways, I've just kind of checked out on him. But I share your comment here, because we saw it commented on. And some people would say that it doesn't appear to be true, or they'd allow a Democrat to come on and say, I don't believe it is true. But we rarely hear an explicit statement from a host like Chris Matthews. You know, that is a flat-out lie.
Yeah. In the last few days, the press has really come around. We've seen much more aggressive fact-checking. In fact, I think we've seen an unprecedented amount of fact-checking for a Republican candidate. The press in the past has been very cautious, I think. And they are starting to use sort of that liar phrase. But even then, to date, I don't think the press has extracted any kind of price from McCain and Palin. You know, Palin's still telling the Bridge to Nowhere story.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that were Hillary Clinton or Al Gore or John Kerry, Sarah Palin would absolutely be branded as delusional at this point, because what candidate for office tours the country telling a lie after the press has debunked it 20 or 30 times? So the press doesn't really take the next step with Republicans
mm-hmm.
in making the connecting the dot between telling a lie over and over and revealing something disturbing about their character.
Well, and Eric, as you finalized your column, your final few comments, you're talking about how Al Gore was accused of casually lying.
Right.
And I guess because McCain is so serious about it, this is not casual. He's just, he's really sincere.
I mean, it's funny, Al Gore, he was absolutely portrayed as this sort of this pathological liar.
Right.
But most of those weren't even lies. Here we have McCain and Palin with factual, documented lies. They keep telling them,
mm-hmm.
and the press still doesn't want to brand them as, you know, unusual or anything.
Billy's got a comment. Go ahead, Billy.
Well, besides the fact that McCain invented the BlackBerry, Chris Matthews actually spent all that time using the word lie and trying to get the Republican spokesman to admit that it was a lie. It was one of the few times when they were really standing up. I'm seeing a different media now. I'm seeing a media that is tired of being intimidated and that is insulted
with
the way they played the media against Palin, that is starting to fight back.
Starting. Just about a week ago, Matthews was still clinging to this notion that John McCain couldn't have possibly known about that lipstick ad because he's too honorable and he never would have signed off on it. Yes, you know, his name is there saying he approves the message, but there's no way someone as honorable as John McCain would ever be involved in anything like that.
Eric Bollard at Media Matters, thank you very much.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
The Osgood Files, sponsored in part by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech. I'm Charles Osgood. The Food and Drug Administration looks at every major study that comes out. When there's a scientific debate about the safety of some chemical, they appoint advisory committees to sort through the findings and make recommendations as to what should be done. This can take years. Well, yesterday, when a major study linked a chemical called bisphenol A, BPA for short, found in metal cans and plastic baby bottles, to higher risks of heart disease and diabetes.
This is the first study to show a correlation with two important chronic illnesses.
The FDA stuck with its position that no ban or change in habits is called for because, in effect, at these levels, BPA is no big deal. The American Academy of Pediatrics begs to differ. Dr. Philip Landrigan.
This is a very big deal.
More after this. The most common cause of blindness in people aged 60 and over is a chronic condition called wet age-related macular degeneration, or AMD. This doesn't happen overnight, ordinarily, although in some people it can develop rather quickly. It begins with symptoms including wavy lines, hazy vision, and blurriness. So if you're not seeing clearly, see an eye doctor and get checked out right away, because early detection followed by proper treatment by a retina specialist is key. This message is brought to you by the American Society of Retina Specialists and Genentech.
When my baby left for college, I took some classes of my own.
Left, right, turn, and...
dance classes. That's when I started needing a pain reliever for my sore leg. Then I upgraded my computer and had to get a headache medicine, too. For every new pain, I had a different pain reliever. But now I'm all Advil. It's my every pain reliever. Advil works wherever I hurt, and nothing's proven stronger on tough pain than Advil. I'm all Advil. Are you all Advil?
Use as directed compared to OTC pain relievers.
Dr. John LaPook, our CBS News medical correspondent, says the major finding of this major new BPA study of 1,400 adults is this.
The people who had the highest levels of BPA in their systems had more than twice the chance of having diabetes or heart disease. This is an association, but is it cause and effect? And that's the million-dollar question.
Some mothers, including one Dr. LaPook talked to, aren't going to wait for the FDA to sort that out.
But Elena, what if you're not positive that BPA causes a problem?
But if there is a possibility that it does, why not try to erase that from the household?
For those who want to try to limit BPA intake, the FDA did issue some suggestions. Again, Dr. LaPook.
Plastic containers with the number 7 on the bottom contain BPA. Avoid them, or at least don't microwave them. Use stainless steel or glass instead, and cut down on cans. That's pretty easy to do, and there's no downside to that. And if in 5 years we find out that there was a problem with BPA, then you won't be looking back and saying, gee, I wish I had done that.
The Osgood File. Charles Osgood on the CBS Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Ask not what your country can do for you.
Ask how many rockets are in outer space. Why is education failing? Ask where are the safeguards in banking, water, energy, health, inflation.
Ask what you can do for your country.
9 p.m. Saturday, The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show, infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B and be part of Peter B.'s America.
California's budget battle is going into extra innings. Are you prepared?
Prisons in old schoolyards.
And they'll be withholding more of your income, but it's not a tax increase.
Up at shows and marble stairs, Mama used to take her there every Saturday.
That's a singer-songwriter from Sacramento named Richard March, not Marks, but Richard March, and it's called Libraries from a CD called Levee Road. And John Laird has been at the center of this battle all summer long. He is the chair of the Assembly Budget Committee, represents Santa Cruz, Monterey, and the Central Coast area in the Assembly in Sacramento. It's his final year due to term limits, and he hasn't had a vacation, didn't get to go to the Democratic Convention, as far as I know. John, how you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Yeah?
This is just crazy. It never seems to end. And I did go to 2 days in Denver, but I had to come back early because of the problem.
Oh, okay. Well, as you size this up right now, why don't you give us a quick sketch of where things stand? The governor has threatened a veto, but from what I understand, the bills that he wants to veto haven't been formally printed and delivered to him, so technically he cannot issue the veto until that occurs.
Well, we did it in the wee hours of yesterday, approved the budget, and the bills actually were going to him late this morning, and he could, if he wished, veto it today. And he has said he's going to do it Friday, and that doesn't make much sense because that's just two more days that don't have to be involved in this delay, because whatever happens with the veto being overridden or if it isn't, the next step needs to be clear. And what he did that last night, we went into session, I guess today is Wednesday.
Yeah.
We went into session Monday in the afternoon and didn't get done in the assembly till about 2:30 a.m. Tuesday morning. And we approved all the budget bills and concurred with the Senate. And one of them is a constitutional amendment that deals with a so-called rainy day fund. Mm-hmm. And he asked for three changes to the amendment, and we did two of them. But the third one would have said you can only take the money out in years where you're short due to revenues coming in. And if there's a court decision or it happens to be next year after a year like this where you cut things and you want to bring them back just to where they were, you couldn't use this money in the rainy day fund if you took this amendment that he asked us to take. And it was just too much for us. And now he's saying he's made his message much broader. But that's what he hung his hat on in saying he would veto. And I think things could change in a day or two, but if it were held right now, there would be an override vote from a majority of the members of both parties in both houses.
Well, even if a few votes were to be peeled off, the margins on the stinky budget that passed are veto-proof, 61-1 in your assembly and 28-12 in the state Senate. So, you know, isn't this a totally empty threat on his part?
It is, although that was close in the Senate. 27 votes is two-thirds. If he peeled two away, he could block it in the Senate. Only one member of the Assembly has said that they'll not hold to the vote. And I actually think there's a potential that they could act on this. And he's making it a broader argument now, saying this budget just kicks the can down the street. And I think that's a pretty bad argument on his part for a number of reasons. One is we've had to do $24 billion of solutions this year, and this would leave, providing the voters pass the lottery piece of this, a $1.5 billion problem in next year's budget. We go 24, in the end, we will have taken $24 billion of solutions. A small amount of them are temporary, and that'll leave a $1.5 billion problem in the next year's budget. That's pretty phenomenal for not getting a formal general tax increase. And in February, the governor himself, and I supported it, so I don't want to be critical, he issued the last $3.5 billion of debt bonds, and he postponed $1.5 billion of the payback of the debt bonds. So he kicked the can in February by $5 billion, and his May budget still had about $7 billion of unrealizable revenues. If he had gotten down to business with a realistic budget much earlier in the year, we might not have had the deadlock, and it seems very hollow for him at this point to be pious about an issue that he wasn't on the same side with himself on during the first 6 months of the year.
That's pretty interesting. Now, John Laird, returning to this idea of the rainy day fund for a moment, is one of the issues there the threat that Clark Kelso, the receiver who is in charge of the health care system in the Department of Corrections under a federal court jurisdiction, could, as his predecessor threatened, back up a Brinks truck and just say, you know, we need more money. Is the wrangling over the rainy day fund in part trying to protect the general fund from a grab for the prisons?
Indirectly, yes. And it's because if there is something like that that happens, we want the flexibility from this fund to cover it. And we will separately do our best to try to meet the needs of the prisons and try to keep him from getting to a point that he has to court order money out of the budget. With his predecessor, we walked a very fine line for the 4 years I was budget chair, or have been budget chair, because we wanted to set aside enough money that it never got to a point that he would court order money out of the budget, but we didn't want to set aside too much so that we might have to cut some service just to hold money that we wouldn't actually spend. And so there was this fine line all the way along in doing that, and if we're going to set aside this amount of money that could over 10 years be as high as $10 billion in this fund, and somebody comes and court order stuff out of it, and you say, sorry, you can't touch that because of a rule that you put on it, it just makes no sense. That means we cut health care and education while we have money sitting there. And that's what we're trying to prevent with not taking this request that the governor made at the last minute.
And given that Bob Sillin and Clark Kelso have identified needs of at least $6 billion, if not more, to correct the deficiencies in the prison health care system, shouldn't that be factored in as at least a contingent liability and really made a part of the budget process for the next 2 or 3 years?
Yes, and one of the things that has not been covered by the press in the last day and a half is that we had the revenue bond as one of the budget bills to take up to satisfy what Clark Kelso wanted and do it as a revenue bond and not a general obligation bond and to spread it out over time and to implement our program for more transitional facilities and prison health beds and the things that we agreed to do last year. And the Republicans wouldn't agree to those. And so on the last night of the budget, we approved, in the end, with some companion bills, over 20 bills to comprise the budget and a few other issues that we dealt with to get the budget moving. And Republicans would not vote for those prison bills, so we did not bring them up for a vote. The entire budget was turned out, but we did not complete final action on that prison stuff, and there was hope that there could be agreement in a few days and that if we were coming back, we could do it at the same time, or that this could be worked out to the satisfaction of the receiver, that we could actually do it in January when the new legislature comes back. So that's still hanging in the balance, and it's ironic that that's out there and that that is one of the reasons for not doing the governor's thing, and yet nobody's talking about it in that light.
Yeah. John Laird's with us, chair of the Assembly Budget Committee, and if you have a question or comment, he's with us till the top of the hour unless he gets called to the smoking tent, and that toll-free number is 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, John, one of the key components that has been described as fairy tale financial future and trick accounting in the editorial in the San Francisco Chronicle is this proposal that's in the budget that has been passed and is subject to this threatened veto to speed up the collection of taxes from payroll withholding. And as I understand it, effective January 1, everybody's paychecks would be 10% lighter. Now, that's on the state tax level. I'm not saying 10% of the gross, but a figure of 10% greater withholding would go into effect. Now, the promise is that that money will be paid back to the taxpayer when they file their returns for 2009 in April of 2010. So, in essence, the state is taking an interest-free loan from every payroll recipient, and I'm self-employed, so I'm not one of them, but everybody who gets a paycheck is going to be kicking in money equivalent to 10% of their tax bill to help finance the state. And number one, this seems like a payday loan, and I'm offended at the concept. But number two, where will the state get the money to refund those tax refund requests that come in April of 2010?
A couple of things about that proposal. One is it moves the current withholding from 5 to 10%. So that is the change that's there. And the interesting thing is that the problem with the budget in general, completely separate from the two-thirds approval, which factors into this, because if we had a general tax increase, you wouldn't be doing this kind of as you characterized it, a payday loan. All it does is accelerate, and there's, in essence, a one-time benefit. So the state would have the use of an extra $1 billion for a year, and everything would even out in the next year, and it just is a one-time benefit of the acceleration. And when the problem of the budget that you and I have talked about plenty of times before is that 85% of the budget comes from personal income tax and sales tax, and it swings wildly with the economy. And so our challenge in the good times is not to add the extra money to ongoing expenses. And our challenge in bad times, when expenses haven't changed, but revenues have dropped off, is trying to figure out how to bridge the state to the time that the revenues come back. And that's in part what this does, and that is in part the reason there's still $1.5 billion problem in next year's budget, but it gets us through. And so it would have made much more sense, obviously, to adopt what we proposed, which was an extra percent on the upper income bracket, whether it's temporary or not, to cover the state through this rough time for those that are making over $350,000 a year. They're doing okay in these bad times. And the people that are receiving services, whether they're school kids or transit or healthcare, are the ones that aren't doing well. And that would have been the fair way to do this. Mm-hmm. But under the two-thirds, we couldn't get the votes to do that.
And, John, whose idea was this accelerated withholding plan?
I'm not even sure. And one of the ironies of the governor's opposition now to some of these things is that the language and the proposals for some pieces of them came from his own finance department. And so that's the irony about all this, is that they give the wording, they're in on the discussions, and now he says what came from them is kicking the can down the road. And I think the reality is, and I can't remember, I think I was on your program early last week, when the governor came and met with all the Republicans in the assembly for 2 hours last Tuesday or Wednesday, and then came across the hall and met with us for 2 hours, it was the time that the realities all came home to roost, which is, even though he'd been attacking the legislature for not having a budget, we had been holding, giving him the chance to line up votes for his budget. And on that day, it became clear, even though his budget had been out there for 2 or 3 weeks, he was not getting a single vote for it. Yeah. He could not get Republicans to support that, not a single one. And the Republicans were holding firm on no taxes. And we were holding firm on no major additional cuts to education or health care. And when all those things were realities against the backdrop of people in public health clinics and hospitals and schools really hurting because of the budget, it became clear that you have to drive a budget between all those realities. You're not going to get a tax. We're not going to do those additional cuts. The governor can't get any votes for his proposal, and it's time to stop the hurting across the state. And that leads to these proposals down the middle. And in the end, there's over $9 billion of revenue solutions in this budget, which is miraculous. And the Republicans moved on a number of tax loophole closures, although one of the detriments, I think, in this budget is there's some benefit that's given to some of these people that's in the out years that will hurt the state budget to the tune of $600 million or $1 billion in corporate taxes in 3 and 4 and 5 years out in exchange for them giving up their tax breaks for the intervening time. I think that's not necessarily a good thing. For me, that's the one bad thing other than no new taxes and not having the budget fixed in the out year.
We'll take a break and return with John Laird, Assembly Budget Chair here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Don Parada got off a good line. He said Governor Schwarzenegger is a leader with no followers.
News, commentary, and your phone calls. If it's happening in America, it'll be right here on 540 AM Radio, KRXA.
Hey, it's Sheila Gale here to tell you about Monta Vista Wine and Spirits on Soledad Drive in Monterey. It's family-owned for over 40 years. They have all the best wines. It's the real deal. With a high-end liquor selection, it's all there. And if you have a special request, they'll take care of it for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits is open every day, 9 to 9. Call ahead. Your order will be waiting for you. Monta Vista Wine and Spirits, 19 Soledad Drive by Del Monte Center in Monterey. Reminds you to please drink responsibly.
My name is R.J. Moyer, President of Family Heritage Management Services. I am a retirement specialist, and I protect my clients' money, and I can guarantee an income for life. We don't recommend stocks, mutual funds, or variable annuities. These are risky securities. With securities, you have unlimited upside, but you also have unlimited downside. Our clients do not lose money in negative markets. Do you have a multi-generational IRA? Why not? It's been your right since 2001. Don't let Uncle Sam be your biggest beneficiary because your banker or broker is sleeping at the wheel. Call us right now at 831-794-8485 to receive your free brochure. We will then set up your free IRA and retirement checkup in our Salinas location. Call 831-794-8485. It's a new market, and it's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485. If you transfer your IRA, 401k, or any of your retirement accounts today, we will add 10% to your full account value. $100,000 becomes $110,000, $400,000 becomes $440,000, $700,000 becomes $770,000. It's a new market. It's time for a change. Call 831-794-8485.
There's more than one side to contemporary affairs. In fact, there's usually more than two sides. On Thursday nights at 10, listen in on KRXA 540, and you'll hear at least four. You'll hear the perspectives of Mark Leonard, Tony Rudy, Billy Sunshine, and me, Jack Hart. We have guests bring their own expertise and experience to their analysis of current events. Join us each Thursday night at 10 for a different perspective. And on September 4th, our show will expand to 2 hours and will start at 9 in the evening and go through to 11. Join us here on KRXA 540.
Hey, are you driving around looking for a coffee shop with free internet? Look no further. Right here in Pacific Grove, you'll find Black Forest Espresso, a fun and friendly place to hang out. We have a large espresso bar ready to make any gourmet drink. Homemade frats, mochas, lattes, how about 100% fruit smoothies and old-fashioned milkshakes with 14 flavors. Try the new pina colada. Black Forest Espresso is also the only place to get soft-serve, fat-free frozen yogurt. We have it all. Soups, sandwiches. We're the last hometown coffee shop at the Country Club Gate Shopping Center next to Save Mart at Forest and David, Pacific Grove. Or check out blackforestespresso.com.
Show at 7 minutes in front of the hour. continue with John Laird, the chair of the California Assembly Budget Committee, and the saga continues in Sacramento. We're also joined by Steve and Salinas, who wants to suggest some tax increases for himself. Hi, Steve.
Yeah, and they are for me, too. I'm going to pay dearly because I'm a holic at this stuff. But I think there should be like a junk food tax. They have French fries and candy bars and sodas, alcohol, tobacco products, with every single penny going for health care.
Well,
that
Pete,
extra tax.
Pete Wilson had a snack tax, and in fact, Brad Sherman and I helped repeal it. Maybe that was a misguided effort in the mid-90s.
Yeah, no, because you know this stuff is not doing my health any good, and so it might cause me to go see doctors more often than I should. So.
All right. Well, thank you for that, Steve. Now, John, Steve is stepping forward here saying, please raise my taxes. Is there any possibility, if the governor does follow through on his veto, that the Republicans will open their minds and decide that, well, maybe the Democrats and people like Steve are right?
I think not. The only way they can deal with it, and it's a function of the system in the sense that there are closed primaries, and I'm not arguing with changing them, in the Republican Party. It's an article of faith that you shouldn't raise taxes, and the last time somebody voted outside of the Republican caucus in 2001, of the one senator who was termed out, but the four assembly members who were running for either other offices or could run again, not a single one returned to Sacramento. And that hangs over the head of every one of these budget votes. And 31 of the 32 Republicans in the state assembly signed Grover Norquist's pledge to not raise taxes. And breaking that pledge would probably be the end of their legislative career. And it's horrible that there's no rational conversation about that, because it really is about investment. And they proposed a hard spending cap in a constitutional amendment, and in the abstract, it makes sense to not have government grow by a factor greater than inflation or the growth in population, and yet the economy grows faster than that many times, and government is the investment in roads and water and education that fuels that economic growth, and you'd have an arbitrary factor that would hold it back to a level that's slower than the growth in the economy, and they had a similar cap in Colorado, and they're working to repeal it right now because it just hasn't worked. And so we're running up against all that dogma in this, and as much as I think Steve has a reasonable idea, in the current configuration of the system in Sacramento, it wouldn't get very far.
So we are screwed by Prop 13 and the minority rule that it permits, and a group of Republicans who are galvanized around Grover Norquist.
Together with the two-thirds budget vote, which used to be flexible, and somewhere around 25 years ago, because for years it said it kicks to two-thirds only if the budget grows more than 5% year to year, and somebody thought that was archaic, and just in a series of streamlining things, they removed that 5% and made it a hard two-thirds for all budgets, and if we had that flexibility, that wouldn't apply to many of the budgets, and this year it's clearly not growing by 5%. Yeah. And if we had a simple majority vote to approve this year's budget as a requirement, we would have been done a couple of months ago.
John, 30 seconds or so, what can listeners do? Who should they call, or do they just sit back and say, oh, this is ugly and it's going to get worse?
I think it can't hurt to weigh in with the Republican leaders, and it can't hurt to weigh in with the governor and let them know that they really hope that he'll do the right thing, because this expands even funding to education over his budget and some other things. And while there's some tough things here, we got to make this work. And he shouldn't be threatening to veto everybody's bills just because of this, even.
Yeah. All right, John, we'll stay on it. Thank you for your steady hand and your calm demeanor. And I hope that we come out of this hole at the end of all this.
Thank you, Peter, and I'll talk to you again soon.
All right. John Laird in Sacramento, chair of the Assembly Budget Committee. We'll take a break and return. Professor Marjorie Cohn, president of the National Lawyers Guild, will join me next on the Peter B. Collins Show, produced in San Francisco by Katrina Rill.
How would you like to get fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, you can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself. The Dow drops 449 points.
There doesn't seem to be a light at the end of the tunnel yet for Wall Street.
The price of oil jumps $6.
We saw two hurricanes in a row take a lot of supply out of this market, and it does appear that that's what the buying is about today.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, late edition. I'm Bill Whitney. The closing bell stopped the bleeding. Despite the extraordinary government intervention to rescue AIG, there was another big sell-off, with the Dow closing at 10,609. That's down more than 25% from its all-time high last October.
This bailout of AIG has really brought a bloodbath instead of the rally that we were all expecting. And that's because Wall Street is looking ahead now to the next disaster.
CBS News business reporter Alexis Christophorus.
I've been talking to a lot of traders on the floor, and there are some names being bantered about. They are concerned about the remaining independent brokers, namely Morgan Stanley and Goldman Sachs. Each of these companies have seen their stocks fall the most ever today, and that's because there is fear that they're not going to be able to survive this environment alone.
Morgan Stanley, according to the Wall Street Journal, is in preliminary merger talks with Wachovia Bank, and the New York Times says troubled savings and loan Washington Mutual has put itself up for auction.
This, frankly, is a good way to see it resolved. I'd much rather see Washington Mutual acquired as a going concern than being taken over by the FDIC.
Banking consultant Bert Ely. In the long run, says White House spokeswoman Dana Perino, the economy has the strength to be able to deal with these shocks.
We have a very mixed picture right now, and no doubt we're going through some challenging times, and it will just take us some time to work through it.
Now this.
Does the uncertainty of finding a good used car make you a little nervous? Well, it doesn't have to. The answer is simple. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained late model Hondas. Each undergoes 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now get low APR financing on all Pilot certified used Honda models. I think uncertainty has just left the building. Honda certified used cars. Oh, and don't forget, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Who are all these people, Lisa? And how do they know who you are? Oh, I used all the money I saved on my motorcycle insurance to buy my own fame. Isn't it great? These people love me.
Why do they want to take my picture?
Oh, I told them you stole my boyfriend and took him to a movie premiere. Sorry.
Saving you money on your motorcycle insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business. Call today or visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO Motorcycle. Let's ride.
Gold is a safe haven in times of crisis, and the price of gold had its biggest one-day gain ever, up $89 to $8.69 an ounce. And black gold, crude oil, jumped $6 to $97 a barrel. Analyst Peter Butel.
We're seeing a little bit of bargain hunting, a little bit of short covering. I don't think that this is the beginning of a move dramatically higher. I think, if anything, it's just a pause in the move lower.
He's forecasting huge declines in gasoline prices later this month. The latest CBS News New York Times poll finds Americans very pessimistic about the economy.
61% of Americans say that the economy is getting worse. Only 6% think it's improving, and about a third see no change.
Sarah Dutton of our survey unit says nearly one of every two Americans picks the economy and jobs as the most important issue in deciding on the next president. Two car bombs exploded today at the perimeter of the U.S. Embassy in Yemen, killing 16 people, including half a dozen attackers. U.S. officials say it looks like the work of al-Qaeda.
This attack is a reminder that we are at war with extremists who will murder innocent people to achieve their ideological objectives.
President Bush spoke at a photo op with the new head of Central Command, General David Petraeus. Family members say the victims included a U.S. citizen, 18-year-old Susan Elbana of Lackawanna, New York. Peter Hazen is the principal of Lackawanna High School.
A very good sense of humor about her. She'd always be surrounded by her friends and would always be smiling, easygoing.
Elbana was married just 3 weeks ago and was trying to get her Yemeni husband into the United States. Along the path taken by Hurricane Ike, life is getting more miserable by the day.
Those impacted, many of them, still do not have electricity, they don't have water power, and they don't have sewage. Very, very difficult for them to prepare meals, even if they can, in fact, stay in their homes.
Larry Fortmuller is a Red Cross volunteer in Baytown, Texas. Utilities report slow progress in getting the power back on. It's hard to find an open bank or an ATM, so people are running short on cash. You're listening to the CBS World News Roundup.
A lot of people walk into Sherwin-Williams and ask me about products that have less impact on the environment. It's nice to know I can help.
At your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store, our exceptional products with a Green Shore seal are not only beautiful, they're low odor and durable too. And now, save $7 a gallon on Harmony and Duration Home. So if you're thinking green, just ask. For a store near you, visit SherwinWilliams.com.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger-than-life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
Live from San Francisco, the Peter B. Collins Show, the antidote to right-wing talk radio. He's thoughtful, well-informed, and brings you views and voices you don't hear in the corporate media. Here's another slice of Peter B.'s America.
We roll into another hour of the Peter B. Collins Show with your indulgence. Later this hour, David Cobb, the 2004 presidential candidate on the Green Party ticket, will join us from Humboldt County. But first, a chat with constitutional law professor Marjorie Cohn. When it comes to Afghanistan, are we getting in deeper and deeper? Moronic, but they now call that classic new wave. The fix from back in the mid-80s, it's called Deeper and Deeper. Marjorie Cohn is a professor of constitutional law in San Diego. She's president of the National Lawyers Guild. She's the author of Cowboy Republic, Six Ways the Bush Gang Has Defied the Law, and a new book. You can advance order on Amazon. It'll be published soon. It's called Rules of Disengagement, The Politics and Honor of Military Dissent. Professor, welcome back to our program.
My pleasure, Peter B.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing fine, and you?
Well, I'm okay. There's just so much going on. It's dizzying at times. I wanted to catch up, going back to July 29, you published a piece at commondreams.org that really seconded some thoughts that I've been expressing all summer long. And that is, I'm very concerned that while I support Barack Obama, and he has articulated a plan to get many of our troops out of Iraq, when he has talked about shifting some of those troops to Afghanistan, it has made me very uncomfortable, because I believe that he hasn't defined a mission, that he hasn't described exactly, you know, what the purpose would be and what our exit strategy would be. And I have grave concerns that he is blithely committing us to another lengthy occupation, in this case, of a nation that has never successfully been occupied.
That's true. And, you know, something else that is just not in the public discourse is that the Afghanistan war is as illegal as the Iraq War. Not only is it unwinnable for the reasons you said, and the Soviet Union was unable to conquer Afghanistan,
mm-hmm.
but let's go back to the beginning. When, after we were attacked on 9/11, well, we were attacked on 9/11, did the Afghanistan government attack us? No. Did the Taliban attack us? No. That was the government in power in Afghanistan. 19 men, 15 of whom hailed from Saudi Arabia, attacked us, and yet nobody blinked an eye when Bush, about 3 weeks later, invaded Afghanistan. And of course, there have been a lot of difference of opinion about whether we have enough troops and whether we should put more troops in there. And Barack Obama thinks that we should. But it really, it's illegal because the Security Council never approved that invasion, and we were never attacked by the government of Afghanistan. Now, Bush said that they were harboring Osama bin Laden, and the Taliban was harboring him, and he basically gave them an ultimatum: either you turn over Osama bin Laden to us, or you're going to be attacked. You can use an analogy. Let's say that in 1979, after the Iranian Revolution, when the Shah of Iran fled to the United States and was given safe haven,
mm-hmm.
let's say hypothetically the new government of Iran came to the United States and said, you're harboring the Shah, this terrorist, we want you to turn him over to us or we're going to invade you. It would be exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
They would no more have the legal authority or power to invade us than we have to invade Afghanistan. And yet Time magazine calls it the right war. Barack Obama calls it the right war. Afghanistan is the wrong war. And I think we really need to reevaluate what we're doing there on a legal level and on a political and strategic level, because things are going very badly there. And it's not just a question of not having enough troops. A report last September from the UN concluded that Western airstrikes in Afghanistan were among the chief inspirations for suicide attackers,
mm-hmm.
and that the number of suicide attacks in Afghanistan went up 6 times from 2005 to 2006, and then again in 2007. And the reason that the Afghans are so upset with us is because of these civilian casualties. On August 22nd, more than 90 civilians, the majority of them women and children, were killed.
And we've only begrudgingly admitted to that in the past week. We were in denial, saying, "Oh, it's just a few people. No kids were involved." And now we learn that this was a raid that was based on a phony tip delivered to the U.S. and our so-called coalition there, and it was a score-settling effort by one Afghan against another.
Well, I'm not even sure we've admitted it, because in today's New York Times, in the Tom Shanker article, it says the Afghan government and the United Nations say that the strike killed about 90 civilians, but the U.S. military says only 5 to 7 civilians were killed,
mm-hmm.
and more than 30 insurgents. So I think that we're still not admitting it. And the other thing that's alarming is that we're creeping into Pakistan. There have been several strikes by unmanned CIA drones. There was one on September 8th mm-hmm. that killed 9 people, including 2 children, injured up to 18. And then the first ground assault on September 3rd in Pakistan killed 15 to 20 people.
And the
Pakistani government is furious.
And they've issued orders to shoot to kill American troops
right.
if they're on Pakistani soil.
That's right. That's right. And then it came out on September 11th. That Bush, in July, secretly approved orders to allow American Special Operations Forces to carry out ground assaults inside Pakistan without the prior approval of the Pakistani government. Now, Pakistan there's not even any loose argument that could be made that Pakistan attacked us, and yet we're attacking a sovereign country without the permission of their government. I mean, we're really playing with fire. Remember that Pakistan is a nuclear power. And the government is unstable. There is a new president, Benazir Bhutto's widow, and then the general in charge who is not at all happy. The new president is pro-U.S., but the chief general who's in charge, you know, they bifurcated Musharraf's role. He used to be both president and general, and the new general is not happy at all. He's the one who's saying we're not going to stand for this. So we're really playing with fire there, and we're going to see increasing numbers of U.S. soldiers killed in another war that is illegal and that is not accomplishing whatever it set out to accomplish in the first place, and that's it's not even clear what that was.
Yeah, and in the Massawi case in Minnesota, the FBI admitted that they have never indicted Osama bin Laden over 9/11, and that's a very interesting issue in and of itself when we talk about who we blame for it and what measures we take in response. Marjorie Cohn with us here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Let me now just briefly touch on an issue that came up a few weeks ago and has pretty much been lost in the Sturm und Drang, and that is in St. Paul, the police were extremely aggressive, were proactive and over the top in busting up potential demonstrators, and they were also very rough on particularly independent media representatives. Amy Goodman was on our show and described how she tried to intervene to free two of her producers and was incarcerated herself in the process. And Marjorie, will there be any redress of this? Will there be lawsuits against the St. Paul police that might actually bring the truth out on these issues?
Yes, the Minnesota chapter of the National Lawyers Guild is filing lawsuits against the police. There were more than 800 people arrested that week, including about two dozen credentialed journalists. There were people who were arrested and illegally searched in the period leading up to the convention. This is called preemptive policing, which is no more legal than preemptive war. And they actually, in what is apparently the first use of the 2002 Minnesota version of the Federal Patriot Act, eight alleged leaders of the RNC Welcoming Committee, which is a left group that was planning the protests, were charged with conspiracy to riot in furtherance of terrorism for blocking traffic, basically, and they face up to 7.5 years in prison. There's no physical evidence to support the allegations of these informants in the search warrant who infiltrated and trumped up these allegations of kidnap and assault, basically agent provocateur.
Yeah.
And the complaint doesn't allege that any of the defendants personally engaged in any acts of violence or property damage, and the searches failed to turn up evidence to support allegations of any organized attacks on law enforcement officers. The overwhelming majority of people were peaceful protesters, and others were reacting to police excessive force, and yet you have over 800 people arrested. Many of them were not given their medication. When some were released, they were released in the cold in the evening without clothes. It was like a militarized zone. The police were fighting, were shooting rubber bullets, using tear gas, chemical weapons, I guess you would say, and really overreacting to what was, for the most part, a very peaceful march and all through the week of people exercising their First Amendment rights to protest the Bush administration policies, particularly the war in Iraq.
Well, we're grateful to the National Lawyers Guild for taking the cases on, and I hope that you'll keep us posted as they proceed. And finally, Marjorie, you have a column that was posted at Truth Out last Thursday regarding Sarah Palin and what you describe as her theocratic orientation.
Well, yes, she is a radical right-wing fundamentalist Christian who would love to create a theocracy, and she believes we're living in the end times, which will result in a bloody conflagration, and only true Christians will be saved. I don't think the Jews who support her understand this. The service at her Bible church, Wasilla Bible Church, was run by a guy who runs Jews for Jesus, which has been criticized by the Anti-Defamation League for its aggressive proselytizing of Jews. She is, if you look at her policies, how does her religion figure into her policies? Well, she asked her congregation to pray for the natural gas pipeline, which she characterized as God's will. She referred to the war in Iraq as hopefully a task that is from God.
Mm-hmm.
She wants to teach creationism in schools right next to evolution, and she opposes stem cell research. And one of the most alarming things is her determination to her anti-abortion rights policies, where she made a choice to have a Down syndrome child. Her teenage daughter made a choice to continue her pregnancy, but Palin would deny women, even those victimized by rape or incest, the right to choose abortion, and then criminally punish both the woman for having the abortion and the doctor for performing it. And you have McCain, who declared last year the Constitution established the United States of America as a Christian nation, which is absolutely untrue. The Founding Fathers were very careful not to put anything about Christianity or indeed God in the Declaration of Independence or in the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
But yet McCain's campaign manager, Rick Davis, said, well, this election is not about issues.
Yeah.
It's about whether people like Sarah Palin, basically. But she is now, fortunately, off the front page. But unfortunately, the economy is going into the toilet, and that's what has removed her from the front page. But I think people are very, very scared, and I think they're going to think twice about putting her a heartbeat away from a man who is in very poor health.
I know too many people who fear Reverend Wright, who is not on the ticket, more than Sarah Palin, who is on the ticket and is a bona fide religious extremist. It's a strange time. Marjorie Cohn?
There's an undercurrent of racism there, and I hate to say that. But,
yeah, I think you're right. Thank you very much, Marjorie. Always great to talk with you. Marjorie Cohn, president of the National Lawyers Guild and a professor at the Thomas Jefferson School of Law in San Diego. We'll take a break here. I welcome your calls. We got room in the next segment at 888-5 Peter B. You're listening to the new KRXA 540. Do you wish your dentist listened to you? Dr. Daniel Turner has been practicing dentistry in Monterey for 33 years, and he specializes in listening to his patients. For Dr. Daniel Turner, the most important aspect of good dentistry takes place long before you open your mouth. Dr. Turner interviews every new patient so that he'll understand what is important to you. And because Dr. Turner cares about you and your concerns and feelings, he provides outstanding care for your teeth. Dr. Turner's caring attitude and professional manner extend to his entire staff. Karen, Sally, Christy, and Nikki are always courteous and efficient. So if you're looking for a Monterey dentist who listens and who cares, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. That's 831-375-1112. Dr. Turner's office is conveniently located at 815 Cass Street, downtown Monterey. Parking is free and plentiful. So for all your dental needs, call Dr. Daniel Turner at 375-1112. He listens. He cares.
Hi, this is Cynthia.
And this is Paul at the Pilgrim's Way Community Bookstore.
Have you heard about the events at Pilgrim's Way in the Secret Garden? Maybe too late? Our events include workshops, lectures, and book signings by recognizable and well-known authors locally, nationally, and internationally on a wide range of topics.
Don't miss another chance. You can receive Pilgrim's Way event announcements personally by going to pilgrimsway.com and click on Events to subscribe to the private email service listed. An event calendar is also posted on the Pilgrim's Way community bulletin board inside the bookstore for your convenience. Support independence. Come in and pick up a free KRXA bumper sticker. We're on Dolores Street between 5th and 6th in downtown Carmel.
Or give us a call at 624-4955.
And protect your investments. Custom painting. Call Don Dickman Painting for a free estimate. Don Dickman Painting, serving Monterey Peninsula and the Big Sur Coast. Quality paint jobs and green painting solutions are fast and affordable. Call 667-2144. For a free estimate, call 667-2144. That's 667-2144.
I'm Don Dickman. When quality counts, let us protect your investment. You're in good hands.
With Don Dickman Painting.
We're at www.dondickmanpainting.com.
And good afternoon. This is your first traffic report on KRXA 540, Wednesday, September 17th afternoon. I'm Hal Ginsberg. Just one accident. Not even an accident, really, just mud, dirt, or a rock slide reported in Monterey County at the intersection of County Road 11 and Aromas Road. Apparently some wet concrete was spilled there. You got to be real careful. You don't want to run over that concrete. Beautiful day outside, mid-60s throughout our listening area, warmer inland, of course, blue skies. Enjoy the afternoon, and enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show coming right up on AM 540.
Peter B. Collins Show continues. It's 25 minutes after the hour. I'm your humble host, Peter B. Coming up just a few minutes away, David Cobb returns. He is the Green Party's presidential candidate back in 2004 and remains a very active political guy in Humboldt County. Well, last night when you were distracted by lipstick on pigs and John McCain's ravings and the bailout of AIG, hey, you and I own an insurance company now. Yep, our money was used to bail out AIG, $85 billion. AIG was too big to fail, but Lehman Brothers was too small to care. I don't quite understand what the standards are, but that's a bailout under the bushies. But while we were distracted by all that hoo-ha, Nancy Pelosi led the charge in the House of Representatives to end the 20-year moratorium on offshore oil drilling. And it may be a feint, because the package that includes drilling beyond the 50-mile offshore limit and up to 100 miles offshore is in a package that the Republicans hate, because it doesn't offer royalties to the states that would create the incentives for California or any other state to lift their own moratoria on offshore drilling. And so it's possible that this is a feint, as I say, that the Democrats are tilting toward the Republicans to get this out of the way, that ultimately this bill will go nowhere, get vetoed, and die in the lame duck session. But the other side of it, and I blogged about this at airamerica.com, I'm their guest blogger again this week if you want to drop by and check it out, and the vote was 236 to 189. Only 13 Democrats, from what I've seen, I haven't been able to look at the actual list of votes, but a news account I read said that 13 Democrats, including my Congresswoman Lynn Woolsey, voted against this package. And this is the slippery slope, because by opening the door to offshore drilling, even if this bill never gets signed into law, the Democrats have signaled that they're willing to compromise and be compromised on this issue. And the House has set the frame and set a number, 50 miles offshore. And the Senate will bulldoze right past that when they start to write their bill. And I think it's imminent this week, in fact. And so after the Senate passes a bad bill and you put it together with the stinky House bill that has very little in renewables and any way of, you know, extracting the windfall profits from the oil companies, when it's all said and done, this is the framework for offshore drilling about 20 inches off the coast. Because I believe the Senate will essentially make it a states' rights issue. And we're not at risk here in California in the near term. But hey, some action movie star governor other than Arnold Schwarzenegger might get in office after a recall or some other wacky step. And we could wind up with the ban lifted off the shore of California, too. Remember this day, it's just another ugly one in watching Democratic leaders sell us out in Washington. We'll be right back.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Let the touch of an angel make your next wedding, anniversary, birthday, or family celebration extra special. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe, located at 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside, just across from Craig and Auto Parts, offering full bakery, deli, and cafe services. In the mood for delicious Italian pastries and cookies, specially brewed Latin American coffee, or traditional espresso drinks? Come to Angelina's, where you'll find palate-teasing cheesecakes and specialty cakes for all occasions, as well as tarts and pies with a wide assortment of seasonal flavors. Angelina's Deli features fresh deli sandwiches, breakfast sandwiches, and breakfast burritos. Try Angelina's specialty Mexican and Salvadoran dishes. They're simply delicious. Angelina's Bakery, Deli, and Cafe. Open 7 days a week, Monday through Saturday, 7 a.m. to 8 p.m. Sundays, 7 a.m. to 4 p.m. Treat yourself to the best, where the old world meets the new in a friendly, clean, casual atmosphere. Visit Angelina's today, 1725 Fremont Boulevard, Seaside.
I'm Glenn Sadowski, a licensed acupuncturist at Optimal Health Acupuncture in Monterey. Did you know that over one-third of all Americans have tried alternative medicine for relief from chronic pain, asthma, allergies, headache, and many other disorders? That acupuncture is safe and effective and has been used for thousands of years? Or that traditional Chinese medicine treats not only your symptoms, but the underlying causes of disease in your body? I offer acupuncture, Chinese medical massage, and have a full Chinese herbal pharmacy, and I accept insurance. Call me, Glenn Sadowski, at 655-3208. Reclaim yourself at Optimal Health, where clients take a proactive role in their well-being, create healthy lifestyles, and make informed decisions regarding their wellness. Call Optimal Health Acupuncture today at 655-3208 and on the web at optimalhealthmonterey.com. Mention KRXA to receive a 25% discount. Think for yourself and think for your health.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. He's smart, funny, well-informed, opinionated, and mild-mannered, except when he's not. Welcome to Peter B.'s America.
Hey, fixing the economy, it's as easy as ABC.
All about the game. All you gotta do is be the media. ABC.
I looked around and saw a struggling municipality wasting money building a stadium for a football or baseball team, I thought, gosh, maybe they'd buy me a radio station. And now the Fed has bailed out AIG with your money and mine to the tune of $85 billion. Hey, how's it feel to own an insurance company? It's insolvent, but hey. Ah, yes, the privileges of ownership. And I have a few stranded costs, a few debts, a line of credit I'd like to pay down. Anybody have Ben Bernanke's phone number? Do you know the passcode there at the ATM at the Fed window? Well, if so, please check in with the Peter B. Collins Show today at 888-5-PETER-B. David Cobb joins me now, the Green Party's presidential candidate back in 2004, one of the stalwarts who helped us challenge the heisted vote count in Ohio in 2004. And he continues political activism in Humboldt County with the Democracy Unlimited group. David, welcome back to our show.
Peter B., it's such a pleasure to be on the air with you, as always.
Well, I enjoyed talking with you, too, David, and I want to get your take on the meltdowns and the bailouts, because it's really hard to read these free market Republicans. One day they tell us Bear Stearns was worth bailing out for $30, $35 billion, and then Lehman Brothers takes it right to the mat, bets the ranch and loses, and they say, no bailout for them, and then AIG comes along, oh, too big to fail, that could cause airlines to take their planes out of the air because AIG is the major liability insurance carrier for American flag airlines. And so when we look at this picture, it's really hard to understand where the free market ends and where the socialization of corporate losses begins.
Well, Peter B., I think that you've hit it on the head, right? The reality is that there is no principled position that these so-called free market Republicans are taking. The reality is that this is simply another example of the corporate agenda, sort of corporations uber alles. There is no principled position here. There is no commitment to genuine business competition. But instead, the uber-wealthy elite have conspired. They own this government. They use the ability to draft legislation in order to benefit the very wealthy elite. And I'm not just talking about rich folks. We're talking about the billionaires, the 1% of the country who actually really own everything, are benefiting time and time again from national policies. And I think that's what we're seeing in these bailouts with Lehman Brothers, AIG, Merrill Lynch, and so forth.
Mm-hmm. And as you look at the situation, do you see any rational scheme behind it? Or is it simply, hey, these are our campaign contributors. These are the people who helped us ram through the tax cuts. They were standing by to benefit from privatizing Social Security if that had gone through. And therefore, they're kind of untouchable. I mean, the one thing that I haven't heard out of any of this is that anybody's being held accountable. There's not one indictment that's been filed over the financial fraud that has approached hundreds of billions of dollars. We're going to pay for it, and nobody is going to be held responsible, David. This is remarkable.
Well, it is remarkable, except to the Peter B., it's remarkable if we actually expect principled positions, because I honestly don't believe that there is anything other than corporate cronyism at play at the national level. And I think it goes to show just how deep and entrenched the corporate power has become in this country. We, the people, have very little control over the national government. That's becoming very crystal clear to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So do you think that Obama will be any better on these issues if he's elected?
Oh, definitely. Obama will be better than McCain would be. There's no doubt about that. I don't think, though, Obama is going to be willing to really lead the kind of charge for systemic transformational change that's necessary. But you know what? That's our job. That is to say, ordinary citizens at the grassroots level, where we live, work, and play, have got to work together within our communities to devise concrete campaigns that challenge corporate power and also make people's lives day in and day out. And that bubbling up, then we'll have a movement on our hands. And honestly, doesn't matter who you get elected to office, if you really have a strong, vibrant movement at the local grassroots level, then you make real change. Remember that Nixon was forced to create the Environmental Protection Agency. Mm-hmm. Remember that Nixon was forced, along with the Democrats of the time, to be willing to be for single-payer universal health care. Not that Richard Nixon was an environmentalist or that he really cared about working people. It was that back in the day, there were vibrant social movements that were so powerful that politicians had to be for those things.
David Cobb, I want you to meet Ben from Salinas. He's one of my stalwart callers, and for several years now, he's been talking about the kleptocracy that has been looting the Treasury, feeding the crony capitalists via the war in Iraq and other no-bid deals like Hurricane Katrina. Ben, what's on your mind today?
Thank you, Peter, for that courteous introduction. Hello to your guest there. Here's what I'm saying. But all listeners, put one word in your brain right now, timing. Look at the way the corporate thing's falling through. It's hollowed out. There are people's pensions, homes, and lives are in those things.
Yeah.
And here's what I'm seeing with my intuitive power. I'm seeing that this thing is hollowed out to the point where every day, whether it's the price of food, price of gas, all of the damage going on, trying to start another scare war tactic with upcoming terrorism that we might be provoking in Pakistan, God only knows where that could go. But every day, from the stock market on, the average person just trying to survive and enjoy what's left of our country, you feel like you're a little one day, one inch closer to the curb. And when you hit the curb, you just can't sit there and survive, because they got these stormtroopers that with those guerrilla-made uniforms, I guess in China, bulletproof mask, mace. Who is hiring them? What is their prime directive? And we must find out what is their prime directive and who's paying for them, because those could be our executioners. Now, think of the Roman Empire. If you did not have a way to speak out to your would-be executioner, then in the law of survival, you lose. And look at the people that are not standing up. Nancy Pelosi, she's against the will of the people. Arnold Schwarzenegger, against the will of the people. Harry Reid, against the will of the people. And John McCain and Sarah Palin, against the will of we the people. Our treasury gone. Troops dying over there for nothing. And all hell, it seems like it could, a few more, we're two disasters short of being in front of those goose steppers, because you couldn't pay the rent, and your kids, one of your kids starved to death already. The weakest in the family will die first. Now, I hate this picture I'm painting, and I pray to Jesus in heaven I'm a radical nut, and it's all just a madman's dream, but that, gentleman, is the way I see it, and I'm very sad to even talk like this, but the bell of truth just seems to ring that way.
Thank you, Ben. Now, David Cobb, there was a lot in there. Pick something out that you want to comment on.
Well, I think that, first of all, I agree absolutely with the picture of where we are now and how Ben actually paints it. It is not a rosy picture. However, I will remind Ben and others that throughout all of U.S. history, ordinary people have been able to organize together and fight the same sort of entrenched power. Now, that's why I'm so excited to let you know, Peter B., that we here in Humboldt County are actually working with progressive Democrats and Greens and Independents and principled Republicans to actually organize ourselves to fight back against corporate power. Because I believe that as Franklin Delano Roosevelt said, that the biggest threat to democracy is fascism, and fascism, properly understood, occurs when you have the merger of the corporate state and the military might of the nation state.
Yeah.
So we have to develop plans and strategies that actually build power at the local level while we are challenging the core principles of corporate power, or what we say, corporate rule. Because let's be honest, Peter B., you and I know that corporations are not merely exercising power today.
Mm-hmm.
They are literally ruling us.
Yeah.
And so if we're going to do anything about it, we need to design campaigns that attack or make concrete changes in people's lives and are intentionally, strategically designed to attack the core principles and linchpins of the legal system that allow this corporate rule to happen in the first place.
And David Cobb, give us an update on Measure T. This passed in Humboldt County with a comfortable 55% of the vote back in 2006, and it would ban out-of-county corporations from making political contributions to ballot measures initiatives that are underway in Humboldt County. And I understand that there's been a legal challenge from a right-wing group that is connected to the Arkley family. And for the benefit of our listeners outside of Humboldt, give us a quick sketch of the Arkleys and their connection to the battle against your Measure T.
Certainly. So first of all, the law itself, we are so proud here in Humboldt County. We brought together environmentalists, trade unionists, peace activists, the broad spectrum of the progressive community, Greens, Democrats, and principled conservatives all working together in order to pass a law that says no out-of-county corporate money can come into our elections, and no corporation can claim to be a person with constitutional rights to overturn this law. So a very concrete campaign finance law that actually improves and defends our elections. And we tied it to a critique, a challenge to the legal idea that a corporation can claim First Amendment constitutional rights.
So, and just briefly clarify my point, is it just for initiatives or does it apply to candidate races too?
No, it applies to initiatives, candidate races, any election in Humboldt County. We intentionally made it as broad as we could so that we could make strong an attack on corporate money in elections and corporate personhood.
Okay. And so who are the Arkleys, and just why would they oppose this?
The Arkley family were millionaire timber barons from back in the day, and Rob Arkley Jr. Took those millions and during the go-go SNL crisis bought for pennies on the dollar money during the SNL scandal and SNL bailout money and became a billionaire with a B. This is a guy who's so rich that while newspapers are failing across the country, he bought a newspaper in order to advance his right-wing agenda.
And David, back there with the savings and loan bailout and the way people, opportunists, took advantage of that, was that the era when Doug Bosco was your congressman and he got wrapped up in the SNL stuff?
How about that, Peter B? Again, another example of how the sort of corporatists are all about using rhetoric of market competition, but loot the public treasury. So, you know, I just think it's worth pointing out just exactly how bad it really is. Now, so Rob Arkley then, and his father, who was on the board of the Pacific Legal Foundation and raised money for them, threatened a lawsuit in a memorandum, a written memorandum to the Board of Supervisors, going so far as to threaten the board, and encourage them not to put it on the ballot, even though we had legally collected the signatures necessary in order to be on the ballot. So that's just how sort of egregious that was. And the Pacific Legal Foundation is now suing Humboldt County, but we have a strategy in place to fight back both legally but also at the grassroots level. You know, we are very pleased, very proud that we are taking it to local elected officials and local candidates for office, asking them to support Measure T, to pledge that they will not take corporate money regardless of what the court says, and that they will join our voice in building a movement to challenge the very idea that a corporation can claim to be a person with constitutional rights.
Very interesting.
We're not taking this lying down. We have a long-term strategy, Peter B., to take our country back.
And, David, just a second here before we go to a break, but there was a hearing on Monday relative to Measure T. What happened there?
Absolutely. And the judge denied the Pacific Legal Foundation and the right wing's effort to get an emergency temporary restraining order against the enforcement of Measure T.
So then it is in effect for this November's election.
It is so far. We have another hearing coming up on Monday the 22nd. I'd love to, and I'll make sure to let you know what happens there, and then we'll have a trial on the merits. But point is, Peter B., we're not stopping.
David Cobb with us. We'll take a break and return to your phone calls here on the Peter B. Collins Show. Toll free, it's 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, the Peter B. Collins Show.
afternoon. I'm Hal Ginsworth with your KRXA 540 traffic report on Wednesday, September 17th. We have a report in the Hollister-Gilroy area on Highway 152 just west of County Road 9. A collision involving a big rig and a car with an ambulance responding. And we saw that report of concrete, wet concrete on the road in Aromas at the intersection of County Road 11 and Aromas Road. Temperatures throughout our listening area, low of 52 in Santa Cruz, high of 66 in King City, mostly sunny with some clouds along the coast. We return to Peter B. Collins Show right after this, only on AM 540.
Central Coast Running in Santa Cruz is the number one headquarters for runners. Whether you're a novice or a serious competitor, Central Coast Running has everything you need, from shoes to sportswear. Locally owned and operated by UC Santa Cruz cross-country coach Adam Booth, Central Coast Running should be your first stop before you run. Here's Adam with a tip on running.
When you work out or run lately, have your knees and shins been hurting? How old are your shoes? A year? 2 years? The aches and pains could be your body's way of saying your shoes are toast. Running shoes usually last for around 400 miles worth of wear. If you average a few miles a few days per week, you're going to wear out those shoes in 6 to 8 months. Hi, this is Adam at Central Coast Running. Bring your old shoes in the store so we can see how they're doing. We'll let you know how much life they have left and perform a full gait analysis if it's time for a new pair. We don't want to sell you a pair of shoes if you don't need them, but we do want to help let you know if your shoes are good for you. Stop in and let us help keep you feeling good.
Central Coast Running, located in the Gateway Plaza near the corner of Highway 1 and River Street in Santa Cruz.
Dedicated to the proposition that fun, learning, and personal growth go together perfectly, Thinker Toys, with two beautiful stores on the Monterey Peninsula, has an incredible selection of fun and educational toys, games, books, and art supplies for infants to teens. For nearly 40 years, Thinker Toys owner Mark Phillips and his experienced staff have been serving the parents and children of the Central Coast. They can help you choose the perfect gift for the special child in your life. Join Thinker Toys' three generations of satisfied customers, and you'll see why Thinker Toys is the most fun place to shop on the Monterey Peninsula. Open every day. Thinker Toys is at the corner of San Carlos and 7th in Carmel by the Sea, and next to Starbucks in the Del Monte Center in Monterey. You can also order by phone, 831-624-0441. That's 624-0441. Or browse at thinkertoys.com.
The Peter B. Collins Show rolls on. Coming up next hour in the Free Speak Zone, I'll have a special co-host today, Cliff Schechter, the author of The Real McCain. He's going to serve up some tidbits on McCain and Sarah Palin. I want to talk about offshore drilling and Nancy Pelosi's cave-in. I want your phone calls. It's going to be a lot of fun next hour, so be sure to join us in the Free Speak Zone here on The Peter B. Collins Show. And we continue with David Cobb. He carried the Green Party's presidential standard back in 2004. And by the way, David, have you had a chance to see Richard Hayes Phillips' book called Witness to a Crime?
I have. In fact, Richard and I shared a stage together talking about our experiences about what happened in Ohio.
Great. Well, it's a powerful book, and the only way to get it is at his website, witnesstoacrime.com, and I recommend that. Now, you at Democracy Unlimited are planning a strategy retreat coming up in October. Tell us what's going on and who you'd like to attend.
Absolutely. Well, in a nutshell, what we're doing is having a strategy retreat for activists who want to be part of a broad-based democracy movement that will have as its absolute commitment the idea of challenging corporate personhood, as well as devising and designing grassroots strategies that will either protect the environment, protect workers, protect campaign finance issues. In other words, to replicate what we did in Measure T. We're going to be having this strategy retreat in October at the Occidental Arts and Ecology Center in Sonoma County. So folks across your listening area should come. It's October 10th through the 12th. All information and details are available on our website at www.duhc.org, or they can give us a call at 707-269-0984. And I'll make sure to repeat all that information, both website and telephone number, before I get off the call. But the point is, Peter B., we want your listeners, we know your listeners are progressive and they're also activists. We want to work with you and collaborate with your listeners to figure out how we can best build the long-term movement that we need so desperately to protect our environment, to address global climate change, and to address the financial meltdown. Because the reality is corporate America is destroying the planet, and they have us on a ever-tightening sort of financial casino, and it's going to be up to ordinary people in order to get us out of this mess.
Yep, you bet. Dave joins us from Eureka. Hello, Dave. You're on with David Cobb.
Hey, Peter. Just a couple of hours ago, I attended a demonstration here in Humboldt on the subject of saving our Constitution, in which David Cobb was always the most inspiring speaker. I, too, wish that Ben from Salinas was seeing it wrongly, but I am convinced that the greedy psychopaths that have stolen our government, that want everything for themselves and don't care how much harm they do to the working people, they are not about to give up, and not about to give up the power that Dave and myself and a lot of good people here put a dent in their greed machine, and they are going to do every cheating thing they can to try to hang on to it. I'm putting my money on David, though.
All right. And Dave.
Thank you, Dave. And I want to encourage, I know that, Peter B., you have listeners all across the left coast, but you also are heard on KGOE Radio here, 1480, mm-hmm. in Humboldt and Eureka, Arcata. And I want to invite listeners in that area to come Wednesday, September 24th, to the Labor Temple. We're going to be doing a community meeting to defend ourselves from the empire striking back, as it were.
Mm-hmm.
That's this next Wednesday,
okay.
the 24th, 6 p.m. at the Labor Temple. And again, you can call us at Democracy Unlimited or email us with more questions, and we'll give you all the background.
Great.
But the point I'm making, that I want to make, Peter B., is that Ben and Dave Goggin and other folks are correct about the diagnosis of the problem. But, you know, we need now solutions. We need campaigns that are designed to make our lives better and also to directly challenge and ultimately delegitimize these corporatists and militarists who have hijacked our country.
Let's talk to Anthony in Eureka, too. Anthony, just a minute. Go ahead.
Peter B., David, I want to give a shout-out to Dave and Ben from Eureka and their financial passion. My major point today, Peter, David, is you want a new way of attacking them, you know, besides the corporate personhood and on rational grounds and in the court. The other way is to attack the talking point,
mm-hmm.
to attack them as having antisocial personalities.
Yeah.
And if you Google antisocial personality without a hyphen between anti and social, you'll find there are 7 criteria there, only 3 of which are required to be diagnosed as such,
mm-hmm.
but they satisfy all 7. And the last one is the worst one, you know, no remorse.
Yeah.
And Peter B., you know, Bill from his book called Trainwreck.
Yeah, that's Trainwreck. No, Wrecking Crew, you're thinking Thomas Frank.
No, Trainwreck.
Trainwreck, okay.
And his point is that these individuals are so antisocial, they should Republicans, conservatives.
Okay, Anthony, I'm out of time, but thank you for your comment. David Cobb, people can contact you at duhc.org. That's Democracy Unlimited of Humboldt County. Thank you, David.
That's right. One more thing, 707-269-0984 for folks on
How
the
would
web.
You like Thanks to get me. Fit, stay fit, and help others do the same? You can earn extra money even on a part-time basis in the health and fitness world. Control your own destiny. My name is Dennis, and as an online fitness coach like me, You can begin creating a life for yourself and your family with better health, more energy, and more financial freedom. We'll show you just how easy it is to join one of the fastest-growing companies in America. We'll train you and even give you your customers. It's all done part-time, online, and when you have the time. Harness the power of the Internet and earn the income you deserve. For more details, call 702-299-5789. That's 702-299-5789. There's no obligation. You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. 702-299-5789 or visit us online at fitandgetrich.com. That's fitandgetrich.com.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. A stock market rally seemed likely after the Fed made $85 billion available to prop up AIG, but the market had other ideas. CBS News correspondent Anthony Mason reports.
Another anxiety attack on Wall Street. Even after the AIG bailout, the Dow tumbled another 450 points.
They're like banging on a big gong. You know, it reverberates for a while, and we're dealing with that reverberation right now. And we're getting these waves of very uncomfortable feelings in the pits of our stomach.
Among the worst hit, the two largest surviving independent investment banks, Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, plummeted 18 and 26%.
Investors are worried that those institutions might be next. The Wall Street Journal reports Morgan Stanley is in merger talks with Wachovia, and Washington Mutual, according to the New York Times, has just put itself on the auction block. Jason Brooks is money editor at Seattle station KIRO.
Their credit rating has been downgraded to junk status. Basically, their stock is worth almost nothing right now. They're looking at losses in their real estate portfolio climbing upwards of maybe $20 billion in the next year. So there really isn't a whole lot going for the bank because of that.
I'm Peter Mayer at the White House. The Bush administration's long-held opinion that economic fundamentals are strong is an apparent casualty of the financial crisis. Press Secretary Dana Perino has a revised assessment.
There's a mixed picture, but we do have the strength to be able to deal with it.
Perino accused reporters of trying to draw her into the campaign debate that has seen Barack Obama accuse John McCain of agreeing with the administration's views on the strength of the economy. Peter Mayer, CBS News, The White House.
In the latest CBS News New York Times poll, 78% of Americans said the economy is in bad shape, and that could affect the presidential race.
48% of registered voters now say they would vote for Barack Obama. 43% would choose John McCain. That gives Obama a 5 percentage point lead over McCain. And that's about where we were before both the Democratic and Republican conventions.
Sarah Dutton of our survey unit says voters who say the economy is getting worse are heavily for Obama. In the aftermath of Hurricane Ike, millions of people are suffering and struggling. CBS News correspondent Mark Strassman reports from the Texas coast on the crisis in health care.
Dr. James McCarthy leads an emergency room running on empty.
Were your stomach hurting yesterday?
Patients keep coming. Ike's new victims hurt in the cleanup. But also here, patients from 14 other regional hospitals, all closed, no power.
So we're at 300% capacity. We've got extra nurses, extra doctors, but the staff's doing a great job, but they're getting a little bit fried too.
From Texas to Ohio, Ike still leaves almost 3 million people in seven states without power, just under 2 million in Texas alone. And half of them may still be without it a week from now.
At least 50 deaths are now blamed on the storm. This is CBS News.
The world calls us small business owners, but really,
there's nothing small about us. We have big ideas.
We see huge potential. We have
larger than life expectations, which is why we
and millions of other business owners use Visa Business.
Because we do business with a great big world and no other card.
No other card.
No other card is more accepted by it.
Visa Business, used for big ideas. Visit visa.com/smallbusiness.
What's a four-letter word for retirement? S-A-V-E. But how much will you need? FINRA's retirement calculator can help. FINRA is the Financial Industry Regulatory Authority, the not-for-profit that regulates brokers and protects investors. Their easy-to-use calculator will show how much you'll need to fully enjoy the retirement you deserve. Learn more at finra.org/calculator. That's FINRA.org.
Mere millionaires need not apply. There's no room for them among the top 400 wealthiest Americans. CBS News correspondent Camille McCormick reports.
This is rich.
It took $1.3 billion to make the Forbes 400 this year.
Bill Gates tops the list. Investor Warren Buffett comes in second. There are some new faces, according to Forbes senior editor Matthew Miller.
Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook. He's worth $1.5 billion.
And he's just 24. The Walton family is back in the top 10, with so many cash-strapped Americans shopping at Walmart. Casino mogul Sheldon Adelson, he lost $13 billion.
That's about $1,000 every 2.4 seconds.
Cammie McCormick, CBS News, New York.
A small hotel on Turkey's Mediterranean coast is now run by women only. The manager fired all the male staffers because they gave a whole new meaning to room service, having liaisons with female guests. She says the last straw was when the bartender walked out of the bathroom with a British tourist. I'm Bill Whitney, CBS News.
Does the uncertainty of finding a good used car make you a little nervous? Well, it doesn't have to. The answer is simple. Honda certified used cars. They're well-maintained, late-model Hondas. Each undergoes a 150-point inspection, then backed by one of the best warranties in the business. And now get low APR financing on all Pilot-certified used Honda models. I think uncertainty has just left the building. Honda-certified used cars. Oh, and don't forget, it may be used, but it's still a Honda.
See dealer for financing and limited warranty details.
Who are all these people, Lisa? And how do they know who you are? Oh, I used all the money I saved on my motorcycle insurance to buy my own fame. Isn't it great? These people love me.
Why do they want to take my picture?
Oh, I told them you stole my boyfriend and took him to a movie premiere. Sorry.
Saving you money on your motorcycle insurance is our business. What you do with the money is your business. Call today or visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO Motorcycle. Let's ride.
Live from the left coast, it's the Peter B. Collins Show. Infused with dangerous San Francisco values like compassion, justice, and a living wage. Join the conversation toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And be part of Peter B.'s America.
Welcome to the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. And today, my special co-host this hour is Cliff Schechter. He's a regular on our program and the author of The Real McCain, Why Conservatives Don't Trust Him, and Why Independents Shouldn't. And we are going to unleash the full Cliff today. Cliff Schechter joins us from Columbus, Ohio, right there in the heartland. Hello, Cliff.
Hey there, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm doing better than John McCain today.
Yeah, he's having another one of those rough days now, isn't he?
Well, I was wise enough not to counsel anybody about whether AIG should be bailed out or not, and they didn't consult me anyway.
That's true. I think, in addition, you're having a rough day because you, like, unlike John McCain, didn't invent Wi-Fi. And had you done that, can you imagine where you'd be right now? You'd be running for president.
Now, the blackberries I'm familiar with grow wild in my driveway, in these little sticker bushes. I don't actually own one of those electronic PDAs called a BlackBerry.
Although, Peter, if you give it 5 minutes, John McCain will be claiming he invented that, too.
Well, and the guy who's been offering up these gas is Douglas Holtz Eakin. He made the BlackBerry remark, but he also made a comment that John McCain's health care proposal would put 25 to 30 million individuals out of the ranks of the uninsured, and a truth checker at the New York Times said that he was only off by 25 to 30 million people.
Yeah, and it turns out if you look at John McCain's health care plan, which would tax employer benefits, there's a good chance that a number of people are saying now that an additional 15 to 20 million more people than we have right now could be out of their health care.
Yeah.
And it seems like a good idea to me to tax people's employer-provided benefits. That should work.
Oh, yeah. It's a great incentive for people to get insurance.
It's just how John McCain got his insurance. Oh, wait a minute. That was from Admiral Daddy. Right.
Cliff Schechter's with us, and our lines are open for you here in the Free Speech Zone. I think you know the rules. There aren't any. You can call from anywhere, offer any viewpoint, and any topic that you want to talk about. So we invite your lively contributions to the program this hour at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Cliff, Carly Fiorina is somebody that I don't have warm and fuzzy feelings about, because after she was made the CEO at Hewlett-Packard, I was foolish enough to buy some of their their stock. And then she merged with Compaq that took it underwater for 3 years and, of course, led to her departure. So
right, with
she
$42 million in hand.
That's right. That was a nice little bailout for her.
Right, that's what I call conservative accountability.
So she is now a top economic advisor to McCain. And in St. Louis, she gave an interview where somebody asked her whether Sarah Palin has the experience to be a CEO, to run a company. And here, a failed female CEO, Carly Fiorina, said, well, actually, no.
And the beautiful part about that story is that then she jumped out and thought she could make things better by saying, you know what, John McCain couldn't run a company either, which I find interesting now that the government will be running AIG. So perhaps that disqualifies the both of them.
Now, is she in the penalty box, the doghouse, because she was scheduled to appear on a CNN show earlier today, and it was abruptly canceled?
Yeah, I've heard through my sources John McCain's quite angry at her right now, so she better watch out, because we all know what John McCain calls women when he gets angry.
Well, yeah, but did he have an actual meltdown that was witnessed by other people? Have we been able to establish that? I've heard rumors to that effect, but I haven't heard a sourced report.
Well, I've just heard that the meltdown was in front of the usual staff people. Probably get beaten up by crazy McCain all the time. So in the end, he pulled her from a lot of these shows, and I think soon he's going to run out of these flacks to put out there because he puts out, as you said, Mr. Douglas Eats Hogan, and he comes out and says John McCain invented the BlackBerry and Wi-Fi and the abacus and double-breasted suits, rain, the South Beach diet. You know, pretty much anything you can imagine. So you don't want to put him on television. You don't want to put Carly Fiorina on television. Bill Graham, now there's the guy you want on television. You want him out there calling all of us whiners and reminding us how he got rid of Glass-Steagall, deregulated the whole system, and pretty much led to exactly what we're going through right now. And he'd be John McCain's Treasury Secretary. So I'm wondering who actually can go on at this point and speak to economic policy for John McCain. Maybe Bush.
Well, I think he should convene a confab of all his lobbyists who are part of his campaign. He called yesterday for the creation of a commission, like the 9/11 commission. And I don't know about you, Cliff, but I'm not so sold. I actually watched the 9/11 commission at work, and it moved me into the tin hat crowd because I didn't think it had any credibility at all. I thought it was a huge whitewash. And here McCain wants to delay any real reaction or policy change due to the remarkable meltdown that even Alan Greenspan says is worse than the depression of 1929, or at least the stock market crash of 29, and yet McCain just wants to study it with a commission.
Right, and we know from history that John McCain, of course, listens to all these commissions as he ignored the 9/11 commission, so we can certainly expect he'll listen to what they have to say. We have a bunch of old white guys sitting around together looking at their stock options and perhaps decrying the fact that this year they won't be able to buy that 13th mansion.
Wait a minute, Cliff. You just played the corporate race card. You referred to white guys. I'm sorry. We can't allow race to be injected into this campaign in any way, shape, or form. You take that back.
I apologize for that. That was going over the line, and I shouldn't be just referring to white men. Let's talk about white women, too. you may have heard one of the more hysterical developments of today that a so-called, I'll put this in quotes, Democrat and former Hillary Clinton supporter, Lady Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, has decided to endorse John McCain tomorrow, which they're touting, because, and get this, she's calling Obama an elitist, which is why she's doing it, because when your name is Lady Lynn Forrester de Rothschild, and you split time between New York and London.
That's a woman with a common touch.
That's a woman I want out there, you know, going to your local farm or your local farmer's market, talking to good, hardworking folk, maybe showing up here in Ohio near me to some of the closed manufacturing plants. You know, because I can see her really relating to workers quite well. Lady Lynn Forrester.
Wow. Cliff Schechter's co-hosting with me this hour in the Free Speech Zone on the Peter B. Collins Show. Grab a line and talk with us. Toll free at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. In our next segment, we're going to talk a little bit about Sarah Palin and the latest disclosures on her. Later in the hour, I want to tweak Nancy Pelosi for permitting this bill. Not only permitting it, she She championed this bill that lifts the moratorium on offshore drilling. And you're invited to join us and chat us up. Toll free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Now, Cliff, this one comes close to you there in Columbus, Ohio, because I heard an exchange on the Fox News Channel where they reported that the elitist Barack Obama was headed to Barbara Streisand's house near Hollywood for a fundraiser and Croonfest. And they countered that by reporting that John McCain was dining in Columbus, Ohio at a diner with average people.
Wow.
Were you there? Were you at the diner? Were you the average people?
I am the average people because my loafers only cost $450. So I'm not quite on the McCain level. I'm what he'd call middle class.
Uh-huh.
No, I didn't know he was at a diner here. I would have loved to go by, ask him a couple questions, see what he knows about the economy, which I guess he admits is nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Check into his foreign policy, which I don't think he understands. Sunnis, Shiites, all the same. I would have liked to do that, but I didn't know he was here, and I'm sure he'd be coming back here much more. So I promise you I will go and give him a big Peter B. Collins Show hello.
Okay, that's a wonderful thing. And when do you think we'll really see the media reflect accurately that McCain and his wife are the multi-millionaires here? We're talking over $100 million in their fortune. And the Obamas, while they've had some, good fortune in the last few years, and they have a net worth in the low seven figures, like $1 to $3 million, how is it that McCain is able to pose as a populist, and this seems to be buttressed by the addition of Sarah Palin to the ticket?
That's quite amazing, isn't it? And we'll talk in the next segment about what a small-town gal Sarah Palin really is. But for now, with John McCain, yes, we know it's the old story. He was a POW, which is the answer to everything. When you're a POW, 12 houses are really only four.
Mm-hmm.
As well as that, you've got the $520 loafers, you got the wife with her $300,000 outfit at the Republican convention, you got the daughter who spent $50,000 per month on her credit card. He doesn't know how many houses they have, of course, as we've gone through. Is it seven? Is it 12? That's a guy who really understands regular people.
Mm-hmm.
John McCain's out there fighting the good fight for us. And as we know, as we just talked about, he's going to do what he can to raise taxes on all of our health care, those of us who work for companies, as well as make sure to cut taxes for people that make millions of dollars a year while doing nothing for the vast remaining rest of us. So I guess I can only assume that, yes, John McCain obviously is right down our level. He knows what we need.
Mm-hmm.
But the real big problem with that is if you look at actuarial charts, you'll see that there's only a 43.4% chance that John McCain actually would make it through all 4 years of his presidency. So
that's
you may
a 40. What was that percentage? 43%.
43.4% is the chance that he will actually. I should say is a chance that he will not make it through all 4 years of his presidency, which means we suddenly find ourselves with President to Nowhere Palin.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this before we go to a break here, Cliff, and that is, I'm no George Washington. I have occasionally told a lie, but when I do, I'm pretty conscious of it. I mean, it's in my mind, and I'm thinking, okay, I got to get this straight so that I don't get caught, fibbing. And I'm just wondering what you think is going through John McCain's mind, if anything, when he lays out these whoppers, like saying, you know, that Sarah Palin was an anti-earmark governor when there's $400 million of proof in the last 2 years alone. And the list goes on and on, but he was on The View, where he rejected the criticisms of the lipstick on a pig commercial, and just, well, Senator Obama knows this is a tough campaign, he shouldn't have said it. But isn't he internally conscious of the BS that he's pumping out?
Well, when you ask what's going through his mind, I think the first thing that goes through his mind is, did I have enough fiber today? So that's important to understand. After that, did my wife get the Sanka? And still after that, yes, I think he completely is conscious and realizes that with the record his party has, with the record what George Bush has done to this country, with Iraq, all the lies they want to tell about Iraq, with Iraq never seeing political reconciliation, with the wars they want to fight with numerous other countries, and with his bloviating over Russia, with the fact that he admitted he doesn't understand the economy, the fact that he doesn't know what's going on with health care, but again, wants to raise taxes on our health care benefits. And Barack Obama, obviously being someone that wants to change this corrupt system, well, then what are you going to do? You have to just blatantly tell lies about your opponent. And I feel like this is kind of the final, this is kind of the climax of 30, 40 years of Republican policy, of Republican, how they speak about policy. Because I thought George W. Bush was as bad as it could get with the healthy forests and the clear skies.
Yeah.
And simply flat out lying about things. But during a campaign, it's probably never been like this. There's not a single shred, usually, of evidence to anything McCain says about Obama. I would say at least 50%, if not more like 75% of what he says about himself is a lie. Ditto Sarah Palin.
All right, we'll get to Sarah Palin in a moment. Cliff Schechter co-hosting the Free Speech Zone with me this hour. Call me toll-free, 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372, The Peter B. Collins Show.
KRXA 540, Progressive Talk for Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz.
Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 1584 Del Monte is locally owned and operated by the May family and features delicious, authentic, inexpensive Mandarin and Cantonese food prepared to order every day. The May family invites you to savor authentic Chinese dishes like congee and juke at Jim's Restaurant, 1584 Del Monte in Seaside. Jim's specials are still $5.75 for lunch and $6.75 for dinner per person. Stop by 1584 Del Monte or call 394-5117. Don't forget, Jim's is tops for takeout and catering, too. Call Jim's Restaurant in Seaside at 394-5117.
Hi, this is Sheila Gale. Listen to my show every Saturday from 3 to 5 p.m. 2 hours of in-depth talk on effective ways to help us get through life's greatest challenges, whatever the crisis. Addictions, illness, fears, breakups, money problems. I'll bring in the expert guests and we'll do it with some humor. The Sheila Show, brought to you by Sun Street Centers for alcohol and drug treatment. Go to www.sunstreetcenters.com.
Ever thought about shipping your child to a remote island? Want to send them to their room for the rest of their life? I can help. I'm Mark LaCluse, an intern psychotherapist practicing in SoCal under the supervision of Dr. Chaim Barton. For the past 10 years, I've been helping parents, teens, and kids overcome challenges in their lives, and I'd like to help you too. I can work with your family to resolve conflicts, improve communications, and solve problems. Together, we can turn struggles and challenges into opportunities for growth and connection. I offer an affordable sliding scale, and I'm currently accepting new clients. Please call for an appointment. 831-818-4033. Parenting doesn't have to be so hard. I'm Mark LaCluse. Give me a call. 818-4033. That's
818-4033. I'm 58 now, and, you know, I'm a little afraid of it, Jim, because... Yeah. Beautiful young people, they just happen that way, you know. Old people are works of art, aren't they? Yeah. Middle-aged people that are beautiful are damn hard to find. My father gave me this reframe about aging, because I'm 58. My dad is really old. His lady is demented now. And he says, oh, it's cool. That makes the sex hot. He says, I always think it's going to be for the last time, you know. And she always thinks it's for the first.
Richard Stockton with a minute from planetcruise.org.
And good afternoon. This is Hal Ginsberg with your KRXA 540 traffic in the 5 p.m. hour on Wednesday, September 17th. Just below Marina, we have a traffic collision reported on Highway 1 northbound, just south of Light Fighter Road. No details as of yet. We also have a traffic hazard reported on Highway 1 and State Park Drive in Santa Cruz County. That's a Metro bus stuck in the traffic lane. And finally, we still have in Hollister-Gilroy area. And finally, in the Hollister-Gilroy area on Road 152, just west of County Road 9, we have a traffic collision with minor injuries, including a tow truck. Drive with caution there. Area, enjoy the Peter B. Collins Show coming right up, only on AM 540.
Hello there. Hello again there, valiant listeners. This is Cliff Schechter coming to you live from my very own taxpayer-funded tanning bed in Columbus, co-hosting with Peter B. Collins tonight. How you doing, Peter?
Oh, doing great here, Cliff. And that tanning bed really gets you through the long winters in Ohio, doesn't it?
It really does. It really does. In fact, I think it also qualifies me to run for vice president.
Yeah? Is it a tax-deductible investment?
It certainly is. It's very important. It fits into my overall scheme, and I think that's where we'll take this transition to our small-town gal, Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
As many people may have heard out there, I hope they did, Sarah Palin, very important business upon getting elected governor of Alaska. One of the first orders of business once she arrived in the Capitol was, of course, having a tanning bed installed in the mansion.
Now, was this sold to her by one of her high school classmates? Because it seems that everything she does in government connects up with her old pals.
It probably was. I have not researched the buyer, but as you said, it seems that the entire town of Wasilla, which I think is only about seven people, are all now employed by the government of Alaska.
Now, Cliff, if you've got a tanning bed there in Columbus, the winters are much longer in Alaska. Don't you have any, George Hamilton empathy?
That is true. I wasn't aware that we were at the point where George Hamilton might become vice president. But, of course, as you said, a good tan is important. In fact, it's even more important to Sarah Palin because in addition to charging the taxpayers for that tanning bed, well, what else is she doing? Turns out, as we find out from the New York Post today, no liberal rag, she has a secret style team on board. Almost like the Delta Force of styling teams. And what do? They plan ahead of time, so Sarah's hair falls just into place. She wears those $2,500 Valentino jackets at the Republican National Convention, which, in fact, her team recommended for her.
That looked to me like a Mao jacket that she'd gotten at a thrift store.
Well, in her defense, $2,500 is considered off the rack to Cindy McCain. She wasn't that dressed up. If you want to compare it to the elitism of the McCains and what's her name again, Baroness Lady Lynn Forrester, Sir de Rothschild. On that scale, perhaps not. But yes, she has a tanning bed. That she had that installed. She's got her own team of people. We found that out also, that I'm making sure she's wearing those nice $2,500 jackets that, of course, all the rest of the people, all the rest of us from small towns in middle America wear, just like good old Sarah Palin. And we also found it from her former mentor, Nick Carney, who's a city councilman in Wasilla. Turns out that she spent $50,000 of taxpayer money right when she got to Wasilla in 1996 as the mayor, or when she was elected mayor, turning her office into what he calls a bordello.
No?
Not literally, I don't think, although...
Is that like Velvet?
Party of David Vitter?
Is that like Velvet wallpaper or what?
It turns out there is red stocking wallpaper. I'm not really sure what that is, but maybe we should get an expert on the show to explain that to us. But, of course, she, in the secretive manner, the Dick Cheney-esque manner in which she reigns, decided that it wasn't the business of the people nor the business of the city council for her to check with them that what she was spending their money on. So just to sum up, and so that everybody really understands, again, that she's our small-town gal.
Mm-hmm.
We've got her own secret style team in her $2,500 Valentino jacket. We have the office bordello, $50,000 of taxpayers' money. And we have the tanning bed installed right after she got up to the capital of Alaska. Because and God help you if you live without a good tan.
Here's Hal in Coos Bay with a comment. Go ahead, Hal. We got a few seconds. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just have the perfect coup. Just back off and let those guys take the presidency and vice presidency, and then we'll kidnap Palin and put in Tina Fey.
After we get her a tanning bed. Tina's a little bit got that studio tan.
Tina Fey also has way too much experience for John McCain to ever think about having her serve.
All All right, Hal, thank you for the call. 888-5-PETER-B if you'd like to join us in the free speech zone. Cliff Schechter co-hosting with me today. And this came in from Gary in Sacramento, learning that Zippy Livni's likely to be the new prime minister of Israel. I wonder if Zippy can see Sarah Palin's tanning bed from the backyard of her kibbutz.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
Hi, I'm Debbie LaSala from LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli at 250 Casa Verde Way in Monterey. Buy Right has been a family-owned Monterey Bay treasure since 1938. Hungry for delicious sandwiches? Join the many LaSala regulars who love our tasty, hearty sandwiches prepared with fresh-baked Palermo bread. Eat in or grab on the run at LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli. Whatever your choice, we at LaSala's will greet you with Mon Pa hospitality and truly awesome meals. And remember, sandwich trays are also available for meetings and parties. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli is located on the west side of Highway 1, exiting at 250 Casa Verde Way and going just past the first stop sign. For more information, call 372-6824. That's 372-6824. LaSala's Buy Right Market and Deli, a Mon Pa treasure at your service for 70 years.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Carolani.
Good Vibrations Radio is moving from Sundays to Saturdays on September 13th.
From 7 to 9 p.m.
You'll have more everyday alchemy.
Change your vibrations and change your life.
Good Vibrations, Saturday from 7 to 9 p.m.
on AM 540 KRXA.
KRXA is the radio home of Central Coast Sports. Hi, this is Rob Ponce. Join John Berlin and me each weekend as we bring you the play-by-play of the high school football game of the week.
Oh, my, it's Cowboy football. From the pit in Salinas to you on KRXA 540. Salinas is looking to increase their standing to a 2-0. Tune in Friday at 7, right here at 540 a.m. KRXA. For play-by-play action from Rob Ponce and John Berlin.
Hi, I'm Scott Dick, the host of the new show, curiously enough, called The Scott Dick Show, weekdays following the Peter B. Collins Show. Every evening from 6 to 8 p.m., we'll talk about local and regional issues, national and international politics, military and veterans affairs, and anything else that hasn't been lip-smacked to death already. So hang around after the Peter B. Collins Show and tune in to the gift you just can't return, The Scott Dick Show, weekdays, 6 to 8 p.m., where I'll shoot from the lip and take no prisoners.
Welcome to Isla Earth. A beached whale is a heartbreaking sight, and while nobody's sure exactly why beachings occur, scientists have offered several theories. They could be caused by disease or old age, by noisy ships or naval sonar, or by seismic testing used in oil and gas exploration. Another theory holds that these intelligent mammals are simply following confused leaders into shallow and therefore dangerous waters. A group of scientists from the City College of New York recently came up with yet another theory. They think the whales may be swimming into areas where their sonar signal drops, kind of like a cell phone dropping a connection. Researchers examined the coasts of New Zealand and Massachusetts where beachings are common. They mapped coastal areas for acoustic dead zones, where the shape of the ocean bottom produces bouncing echoes that are too weak for the whales to follow. Whales navigate by echolocation, and without the echoes, they're basically swimming blind. How can these deadly beachings be prevented? Nobody knows for sure. But more research into this tragic phenomena is needed. Find out how you can help at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy with support from its Fund for a Sustainable Planet, because Earth is an island.
Live, unscripted, and unrehearsed, of course. It's the unpredictable Peter B. Collins Show, originating from that dangerous liberal enclave, San Francisco. Call in anytime, toll-free at 1-888-5-PETER-B. And add your voice to Peter B.'s America.
we continue in the Free Speech Zone. Cliff Schechter co-hosting with me today. Got a couple of lines open if you have a comment for us. You want to talk about McCain? You want to talk about Palin? We want to hear from you at 888-5-PETER-B, 888-573-8372. Well, the sweet, sweet sound of the right-wing chorus from St. Paul has resonated and resonated in the House of Representatives. That chorus was Drill, Baby, Drill. And Nancy Pelosi, to my chagrin, led the charge to pass a bill on Tuesday that allows offshore drilling in a zone 50 miles to 100 miles off the coastlines of the United States. And while some people say, well, that's well out of sight, and if there's a leaker, it'll take a long time to hit our shores, I'm not so sanguine, because this is the starting point of a rollback in a 20-year moratorium on offshore drilling. And when the Senate gets a hold of this, Cliff, they're going to take Pelosi's 50-mile limit and blow it up. And by the time they get done, it'll be about 14 inches off the coast is banned for drilling. And we know that if you're realistic about this, there isn't enough oil there to make an impact on our high gasoline prices today, tomorrow, or any time before 2025. And when that oil comes online from the offshore zones, it'll be about 1% of the world market. So it is a drop in the ocean, not just a drop in the bucket. And I really resent that the Democrats felt that they were so intimidated by this Republican call to drill that they had to cough up something. Cliff, what do you think? You're there on the coastline of
the Olentangy.
Oh, yeah, the Olentangy River.
I think we should do some drilling there, quite frankly.
Uh-huh.
No. Well, I slightly disagree. I think we need a balanced bill. And a lot of people here in the middle of the country are obviously very worried about the prices of fuel. Now, granted, I would never be for drilling in Anwar, and I certainly would want to look at anything they do, because I don't trust Republicans as far as I can kick them. I do like to kick them.
Mm-hmm.
But I do have to say, I know Barack Obama made this change in what he was doing, and around here there are a number of great congressional candidates. Mary Jo Kilroy, right next door to where I am, who is going to be a congresswoman soon, who's come out in favor of drilling, but also, obviously, we need to head towards energy independence. I guess my view is anything we can do to become free of the Saudi sheiks, and I understand that drilling only will give us a small percentage, but perhaps in the short term, I could be persuaded.
Well, you know, Cliff, I could accept this if it is the final compromise, but it really bugs me. You referenced Obama. In August, he offered up that, well, you know, give a little wiggle room. I might be able to accept some drilling. And Pelosi had said, no, 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 no. Okay. And I believe the Democrats caved in too soon. I do understand the pressures, and I understand that they're irrational, and I understand that we're in a campaign season where irrational rules. But the way the Democrats handled this, they negotiated with themselves first, developed the compromise, and then took it to the Republicans.
The problem. We remember back that original tax cut that George W. Bush proposed. Remember when we used to have that balanced budget thing?
Yeah.
That surplus? It was a couple guys like John Breaux and Max Baucus essentially negotiating among themselves initially, to the point where George Bush, who had stolen office, was able to come in and get a much bigger tax cut than he should have gotten. There was this guy named John McCain who opposed it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's right, he's for it now.
Yeah.
And he's, of course, switched the position on offshore drilling in a huge way. I understand exactly what you're saying. My view is I have these pictures in my mind, these nightmares of George W. Bush walking hand-in-hand with Saudi sheiks, people that, with their financial wherewithal, as well as many other ways, have supported the bin Ladens of the world. And so my view is, if I have to compromise on that, I'm willing to compromise somewhat. Obviously, I have to look at it first. Oil companies need to go and drill among the leases they already have.
Well, that would be a start.
They're not doing. So
yeah.
We disagree slightly, but I think we mostly agree there.
Well, and Cliff, I've been the guest blogger again this week. I don't know why they can't find somebody else at airamerica.com.
Why they had me last week.
Oh!
They're really getting to the bottom of the barrel now, aren't they, Peter?
Anyway, if people want to read my rant, the one silver lining is that Pelosi may be crazy like a fox, serving this up as a faux compromise because the rest of the package infuriates the Republicans. It doesn't have the royalty stuff that would flow to the states that would cause them to lift their own moratoria. And so this may be a recipe for putting this out of the debate for the fall, but doing it in a way that causes it to die, and an ignoble death sometime between now and November, and then they won't resuscitate it in the lame duck session. That's my hope. And right now, I need all the hope I can get.
The big problem, we can't trust what they say. As I like to say, Republicans obviously don't come to the table with good faith. They are what I like to call a group of palynological liars. And therefore, we obviously have to come into anything with skepticism. But.
Yeah, and the Democrats, in 2 years in power have not learned that you can't negotiate with terrorists like John Boehner.
Like John Boehner. Like George W. Bush, like the Alaska Independence Party, which the Palins belonged to until like about a week ago.
Yep. Now, Cliff, we're joined by Gary from Indiana, another seaside state. Gary, welcome to the Peter B. Collins Show with our guest host, Cliff Schechter.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
Hey, how you doing, Gary?
Fine. I tell you what, I think that the point you just made there, Peter, about Nancy Pelosi being crazy like a fox, I think that's the whole point. Most of this bill, they take away the tax breaks for the oil companies. They, provide the tax credits for and all the other things for the alternative energies.
There's a skosh of that. There's a skosh of that in there, but it doesn't dominate.
No,
certainly that has to be part of it from my perspective, is they have to the serious windfall profit taxes on the oil companies.
Now, that's not going to pass the Senate. And, again, that may be the deal breaker that prevents the offshore drilling stuff from kicking in.
Well, then we'll know that, sadly, as usual, Republicans don't put country first now, do they?
Uh-huh. Gary, anything else you want to add there?
Well, the point is that my point was that if it does pass the Senate, which it may, but it may be scaled down a little bit and what have you. But the point is that Bush won't sign it; he'll veto it. And then all the Democrats, Obama has to do is say, "Hey, we've sent a drilling bill; Bush vetoed it."
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, to me, I think it's a smart move.
All right. Well, Gary, good to hear from you in the Hoosier State today, and I thank you for listening to our program.
No problem. Have a good night.
You take care.
Yeah, I have to agree with Gary there. I think, it's a shame we have to play these games, Peter, but we do.
All right.
We're not dealing with people, again, that come to the table in good faith.
Well, stand by, because I feel a panic attack coming on. Tommy Panic is our low-budget, in-depth, undercover investigative reporter, and I believe he is in Alaska today. Tommy, welcome to the program.
Thanks a lot, Peter. Yeah, I'm here in the 49th state. I'm in Wasilla.
Boy, they got crappy phones there in Wasilla.
if you like strip malls on gravel lots right off the front end roads, this place is your paradise. I look around and it's like where northern exposure just might meet deliverance. And I've actually been officially banned from the town.
Already?
Yeah, a couple of guys calling themselves security. They threatened me with a caribou rifle. I've been going around asking questions about Palin, but I got chased off of Riley Avenue, and that's the street that Palin renamed in honor of Paul Riley, the founding pastor of the Wasilla Assembly of God Church. Got chased by this young guy with a crossbow, and I'm actually currently holed up in a bungalow on the banks of Lake Lucille, and I am technically within the municipal limits of Wasilla on the outskirts, so I should be okay, and that might explain the phone line. But the town, Peter, guys, the town is crawling with Secret Service. They're investigating the local hackers who might be the people responsible for hacking into Governor Palin's Yahoo email account.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that. Yeah,
supposedly she was doing some official governor business. But if either of you guys sent her nude pictures, I hope that they don't get out. I will say that. But we should put these hackers to work in search of some of those missing administration emails. Wouldn't be a bad idea. But So you got Palin, then you've got McCain, you got Mr. Economic Strong Fundamental Guy, the self-proclaimed computer illiterate. Despite that, you like that story, I'm sure the staffers claim that McCain was instrumental in the creation of the BlackBerry.
Right, yeah, he had a BlackBerry Pi once, I think that's
right,
about it.
And Al Gore created the Internet, didn't he? But that's great, isn't it? Two technological...
Hey, Tommy, I don't know if it's the NSA and their Alaska scrambler or what, but I'm going to have to ask you to connect up on a different line because it's just a little too garbled to hear. So we'll check back with you in a couple of minutes, okay?
We'll give it a go.
All right. Katrina, if you can try to get him on a better circuit there. That one was kind of ugly. All right, Jim in San Francisco. You're next here for Peter B. and Cliff Schechter. Go ahead, Jim. How are you?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Not too bad.
How are you doing?
I'm just sitting here. I've been wondering ever since the convention about McCain, his age, and his health.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he's 72 years old.
Well, but wait a minute. That's ageism. I'm younger than him, and I can't talk about that, Jim.
I can because I'm a few years older than him.
Oh.
Don't you realize that McCain was a POW?
I realize that he's a POW, and I also realize that he oughtn't be allowed to live and vote and get elected on that record forever.
All right. Now, Jim, what about the age issue in particular? Why do you feel that it's a concern? Because Cliff told us earlier this hour that there's only a 43% chance that he's going to die while he's in office.
Well, I think it's probably higher than that. And the reason why it's an issue as far as I'm concerned is because he's nominated a person for vice president who would take his place if he kicks the bucket, who is an insult to me as a voter.
Mm-hmm.
To pick someone with that kind of miserable little background and resume with absolutely no experience where it counts, it's a total insult. I cannot believe he did it. I cannot believe that everybody's excited about her. It's driving me nuts.
Well, luckily, I think some of that excitement is dying down. I think we've seen it in some of the polls, and I think we'll see it in some of the questions that are being asked. And finally, the media is pointing out all the different lies that she's told, from the bridge to nowhere, to the Troopergate scandal, to the smallest little things. She's not telling the truth. So earmarks and such. And so hopefully, I think that bubble's going to die. But you make a great point, and I brought up that actuarial chart earlier that says the 43.4% chance. But you know, does that factor in the four bouts with cancer? Does that factor in 5.5 years as a POW?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think some people you'd say because McCain has been pampered most of his life with health care that he would deny the rest of us,
given
the government, he might be at the top end of those charts, but I have to think 5.5 years in POW camps would nullify that as well as four.
Well, those are the facts that make me say that nominating this woman is an insult.
Yeah.
I agree with you.
An absolute insult. I mean, if you're going to nominate a man like that with his heroic record but his medical situation as of right now, then you have to run somebody for vice president who's got the smarts and the experience to take over. And, you know, if you don't want to do that, then you're just playing political games. And I'm tired of political games. I've had 8 years of political games. I don't want any more.
Jim, thank you very much.
I agree. You know what the real problem is, Peter?
Yeah?
She's just a quail with lipstick.
Jim, thank you very much. And to hear from a senior who's actually John McCain senior, I think is gratifying. We got Tommy Panic back from Alaska. Tommy, let's hear how you sound.
Yeah, what happened? I've switched up lines. I got out of range of that white van that it seemed like it might have been stalking me. Is this better?
Much better. Yeah, you're not scrambled at all.
It is a little bit better. Okay.
Yeah, so go ahead and continue your live dispatch from Wasilla, Alaska.
Well, I mean, before I got banned from Wasilla, before my banishment, I did poke around a little bit. I went to this tanning salon where she was a regular before she had the tanning bed put in the governor's mansion. Doesn't that seem like, though, something you'd rather do in your own home if you had the means?
Well, but
I have the taxpayer to pay for it.
Well, she stays at home and charges the taxpayers. Maybe
there
she's got a tanning booth at home, too.
I went to a gun shop and a shooting range where she was a regular. I visited this taxidermy's where she was a regular. He was actually working on a polar bear that someone in the family shot. But I can't find anyone up here really to say much of anything, and certainly nothing negative about the state's the top hockey mob. And I mean, either the Republican machine got to everyone up here and just intimidated possible dissenters into silence, or they paid them off, or maybe they offed them. Even that Ann Kilkenny woman, the author of the famous internet letter.
Yeah, I got that.
She's in seclusion now. Or is it possible? This is a small town. Maybe whether it's natural or somehow chemically induced, this town is under a spell. The spell of Sarah. That's what we can call it here. They absolutely love this woman. It's kind of Children of the Corn line, corn-like up here. It's really, really weird, honestly. It's a little like a cult. It's kind of like parts of Marin County.
Oh, my God.
So, seriously. So I'm going to attempt to head back into town in the dead of night, maybe dig through some garbage, something like that, see what else I can find. But, I got to go. I do hear something. It sounds like someone's coming. I got to.
I just want to know, are you wearing your Valentino jacket?
I got to get, no, I'm in full camo.
Okay, there goes Tommy Panic off into the night in Wasilla, Alaska. Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Well,
good.
The line went dead there. We've lost Tommy. I hope that he returns safe and sound. We're going to take a break and return for more of your phone calls in the Free Speech Zone. I'm Peter B. Collins. He's Cliff Schechter. And we're doing a duet here today. You're welcome to join us at 888-5-PETER-B on the Peter B. Collins Show. You're listening to KRXA 540.
This is Hal Ginsberg with your final traffic report on KRXA 540 this Wednesday, September 17th. We've got a report of a white poodle mixture running on the right side of Highway 68 and Hitchcock Road in Monterey County. We've got a report of a vehicle on fire on Highway 101 southbound at Hudson Road in King City. Also a collision still on the board in Monterey County at Highway 1 just north of Fremont Boulevard in Seaside, California. Ambulance responding. And finally a collision with minor injuries still reported in Hollister-Gilroy on Highway 152 just west of County Road 9. Have a great afternoon. Enjoy the beautiful weather here in Santa Cruz, Monterey counties, and the Peter B. Collins Show coming right up only on AM5.
The Bob Oliver Show, The Quantum Leap, Saturdays at 9 p.m. Just think about it. Truth about UFOs, their mysterious occupants, and Earth's hidden underground bases. If you're interested in UFOs, ETs, reptoids, Earth changes, crash retrievals, chemtrails, and conspiracies, the 10th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo will guarantee an entertaining and educational experience. September 27th and 28th. The Bay Area UFO Expo at the Santa Clara Marriott. Get room reservations now for the best rates and be sure to mention Bay Area UFO Expo. Over 20 renowned guests and speakers, including Jordan Maxwell, George Norrie, David Icke, Jose Escamilla, Sean David Morton, Whitley Strieber, and many more at this year's 10th Annual Bay Area UFO Expo.
Want to save money, have fun, and walk a little lighter on the planet? Listen to Tomorrow Matters, talk radio for a better tomorrow, weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m., right here on KRXA 540 AM. Join me, Deborah Lindsay, as we bring in the experts to discuss how to cut energy costs, how to build community, and how to lower our ecological footprints. It's good for our pocketbooks, and it's good for the planet. And we have to, because tomorrow really does matter.
Friday, 8:11 a.m.
Very disturbed by your position about Ralph Nader. I think he's anything but an egomaniac, and I feel that your attitude is extremely ignorant of progressive politics, the need for other parties to combat the corporate hold on Democrats and Republicans, and it's ridiculous to say Ralph Nader should be fighting within the Democratic Party. Corporations have taken over our country. Hello, wake up, Hal.
End of messages.
Oh man, look at my life, 24 and there's so much more. Live alone in a paradise that makes me think of true. Love lost, such a cost, give me things that don't get lost.
like a coin that won't get tossed, rolling home to you.
Peter B. and Cliff Schechter here in the Free Speech Zone, 7 minutes in front of the hour. Got a line open if you want to join in, toll free at 888-5-PETER-B. And you can always email me, peter@peterbcollins.com. And Cliff, I have a treat for you.
Ooh.
Because only occasionally does Alice pick up the phone and call. Alice was a radio talk show call-in virgin the first time she called our program, and she is proud to say she's in her 90s, and she calls us from time to time. Alice, how are you today? Oh, boy. Do you think the NSA is jamming our phone circuits today, Cliff?
I'm a little suspicious.
Yeah.
Perhaps if she was a radio call-in virgin, she was practicing Sarah Palin's abstinence.
Hey, Alice, call us back if you can. I don't know what that rush of noise was on your line, but I definitely would like to talk to you. Alice is a wonderful woman who has shared her wisdom with us on many occasions in the past, and this could be her on the line right now, so let's see if it is, and we'll hopefully get a call without all that noise. And here we go. I think we're just waiting for the light to light up here, and we'll be able to talk to Alice. Hey, Alice, are you there?
Oh, no. This is Anthony from Carmel Valley.
Okay. Well, Anthony, hold on just a second,
sure.
Because I did want to ask Alice about the age question, because we heard from Jim, who identified himself as somewhat older than John McCain, and Alice is about 20 years older than John McCain.
Oh, boy.
And so, Alice, if you can, give us a call back, because I would like to hear your thoughts on whether the geezer is too old to be our president. But, Anthony, you've got the floor. Go ahead.
Sure. It's about that hockey mom joke she always tells with the... You know, what's the difference between a hockey mom and a pit bull? And, well, you know, I was made aware of this by somebody recently that my pit bull has a lipstick.
Now, Cliff, can you tell us, because I understand that there has been a claim from the Republicans that Sarah Palin courageously inserted that line about the lipstick soccer or hockey mom pit bull thing because her teleprompter had gone sideways, and so she was bravely ad-libbing during her convention speech.
Wow, what? She sure is a brave one, isn't she?
Yeah.
They have this thing, this weird thing called the YouTube.
Yeah.
Like the Google.
Yeah.
You may have heard about it.
Can you get it on the BlackBerry?
You can get it on the BlackBerry while using the Wi-Fi, which John McCain invented all of it, including the sky you're standing under.
Uh-huh.
But to get back to the point, she claims that the teleprompter went down. There's YouTube evidence, in fact, it did not. A number of people have pointed this out. And there's just the fact that, really, if you listen to her, you kind of realize that, you know, she couldn't read My Pet Goat without a teleprompter.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say no.
Yeah. Anthony, anything else?
I was just wondering what the conversation would be with her at the United Nations. You know, what's up with all these neutral colors? Boy, there must be a great tanning bed here.
I think her fashion team would come in and remake the UN.
Thank you very much, Anthony. And here is Harvey in Berkeley, who is the greenest listener of the Peter B. Collins Show. Hi, Harvey.
Hi, guys. And I just want to say death to the internal combustion engine. Long live the electric car. Electric motors have way more torque than internal combustion engines, and they seem to be the source of all our problems. And if you Google Santa Barbara and then a couple spaces and put an oil spill,
sure,
and press, hit the search button, read it and weep. For instance, it says here, on January 28, 1969, a blowout erupted below the platform, and before it was plugged, more than 3 million gallons of crude oil spewed from the drilling-induced crack in the channel floor. Oil-soaked birds, unable to fly, slowly dying on the sands. Waves so thick with crude oil that they broke on shore with an eerie silence.
Harvey, that's an inspired reading, and I would just update it to the Exxon Valdez case, where they went to the Supreme Court to be turned down earlier this year by the Roberts Alito cabal. And these are people who had real damages from the Exxon Valdez spill there. And they have lost so much. And then the ultimate insult came from the Republican-packed Supreme Court. And that's what we will face if offshore drilling in the future produces an accident like the Santa Barbara spill. And it's just, hey, baby, you're on your own. You know, our SUVs are gassed up, but who really cares about any kind of environmental damage?
You're forgetting something very important, Peter.
That is?
John McCain says that he's going to take on big business and re-regulate. So you don't have to worry about oil spills and problems of that sort.
And which one of his lobbyists...
Cocaine is a regulatory demon.
Which one of his lobbyist buddies whispered that in his ear before he said it?
Any of the 169 at a place called the McCain campaign headquarters. They should really just do their lobbying straight from there. Maybe convene government there.
Cliff Schechter, thank you for co-hosting with me in the Free Speech Zone today.
It's been my pleasure, Peter. Thanks, everybody, for listening. It's
been a gas. We'll talk to you again soon, Cliff.
All right, you take care.
Thank you.
Until we meet again, happy trails to you. Keep smiling until then.
Bonjour, this is Veronique Raskin, founder of the Organic Wine Company. I've created a special offer for you to try my French wines made from organically grown grapes. For a limited time, when you buy two bottles, you get one bottle free, and I'll even pay for the shipping. I know you love the taste of these handcrafted wines from my ancestors' lands, especially if you care about our planet and your health. Imagine, you can have organic French wine delivered to your door for less than $12 a bottle. I have made this free wine and free shipping offer available to you because I believe you'll become a lifelong customer once you've tasted our wines. The French Bouquet Collection at ecowine.com includes my red Chateau Véronique from Languedoc, my white Viognier, and my Blanquette de Limoux sparkling wine. All French, organically grown, and affordable.
For free delivery, click on ecowine.com/Peter B. That's ecowine.com/Peter B.
Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
CBS News, I'm Bill Whitney. For the second day this week, and it's only Wednesday, there's been a big sell-off on Wall Street. The Dow plunged 449 points to close at 10,609. Less than a year ago, it was at an all-time high of 14,164. CBS News economics correspondent Anthony Mason says investors fear the bailout of AIG Insurance is not enough to prevent more bank failures.
The banking industry right now is running scared. Anybody who is feeling vulnerable to, you know, market swings, any kind of rumor, any kind of panic, is looking for a partner to protect itself. So there are reports that Morgan Stanley has been called by Wachovia. There are reports that Washington Mutual has put itself up for auction.
Banking consultant Bert Ely says WaMu is making the right move.
I would consider a sale of Washington Mutual at this time to be the best of the options that seem to be on the table now.
Sarah Dutton of our survey unit says the CBS News New York Times poll finds a lot of doom and gloom out there.
Americans are overall very, very pessimistic about the condition of the economy, and they have been all year. In our latest poll, 78% of Americans say the economy is in bad shape. Only 22% say that it's in good shape.
This could hurt John McCain. Most of those who say the economy is getting worse are leaning toward Barack Obama. Falling oil prices have been a bright spot in the economy, but not today. Oil rose $6 to $97 a barrel. Analyst Peter Butel sees no cause for alarm.
We saw two hurricanes in a row take a lot of supply out of this market, and it does appear that that's what the buying is about today. But it's just one day, and the trend over the last 2 months is still lower.
And he's expecting sharply lower gasoline prices within weeks. Gold, always a refuge in times of economic uncertainty, had its biggest one-day price jump ever, up $89 to $8.69 an ounce. The blues are an appropriate accompaniment for today's news from Wall Street and for this hurricane story from CBS News correspondent Jim Crisula.
As Hurricane Katrina bore down on New Orleans, Grammy Award blues artist Clarence Gatemouth Brown was evacuated here to Orange, Texas, his hometown. He died shortly later of lung cancer and was buried here at the historic African-American Hollywood Community Cemetery. His coffin was one of several.